The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 106. And John, what are we titling this one?
It's got to be...
Last Ronin.
Well, I was just thinking it could be Three Jokers too, but I think it's got to be Last Ronin. I mean, that's definitely the big book of the week.
Yeah, I don't want to give away any spoilers here, but we have a pretty good conversation about Three Jokers after, you know, Kryptonite Key Club. Lots of spoilers, lots of great talk about it, and maybe some dissenting opinions.
Maybe. You'll have to wait and find out.
And there's even some Last Ronin talk in there too in the Kryptonite. But we get into Last Ronin. It's one of our books. We both really enjoyed that one. There's no spoiler there. We're Turtle fans. But actually, I kind of knock it down a peg. So you'll have to hear why. And then, you know, not to be one up, John wants to knock it down another peg as well.
I can't let you have all the fun.
If somebody's going to go negative here.
Exactly. You know who it's going to be. It's not going to be you.
Exactly. But wow, long show today. Not a ton of news. We just had a blast.
Yeah, it was long.
It flew by. So, all right. We got lots to get to. You got lots to listen to. So let's get you in the store.
All right.
John, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm great. I am doing great now that I am in a store that doesn't smell.
Oh. Why does your store smell?
Friendly neighborhood. Man.
It's in the back of a patchouli shop or something. Isn't that what you told me?
Is that what that is? What's patchouli? I don't even know what that means.
Patchouli, it's some kind of incense.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is. And it's the whole place. My mask, because you have to wear a mask, of course. My mask smelled like patchouli jelly.
Oh, yeah.
It was gross. I don't know if that's a thing. It just sounded like petroleum jelly. But it,
petroleum jelly, yeah.
It,
not patchouli. That's not patchouli, DJ. That's marijuana.
Oh, okay.
I hate to break
it. No, that was not. It was not. I know what that is. I don't like that either, but that was not it. And it... I'm not an incense guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
I'm not an incense guy either, but the other stuff, yeah, you know, that's a different story.
That's between you and the other stuff. I'm not that either, but it was tough. And it's... I feel bad for them, but it's like, oh, man. It makes it hard. Like, you can't even...
It makes the... You know, paper absorbs odor, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So do people.
Yeah. You can have patchouli smelling comics in your house now.
Oh, it's so rough. I feel bad. I feel so bad. But it's, you know, and it made me think. It's like, you know, I've always enjoyed these chats, John. That's why we started this.
Right.
But I've been enjoying them more and more. But I don't know if it coincided with we went to the once a week. So we've got more energy, and I've gotten yeah. comments from people that you even have more energy now that we're doing the once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, he's more engaged. I was like, well, he's always engaged.
What is that? But, yeah, I said, what does that say about before? I don't know how to take that.
No. I think people are liking the once a week thing, though.
Yeah, well, I concur. I like it too.
I like it, but I would yeah. like to go, if we had content to do twice a week, I would like to do that, but we just, yeah. I just didn't feel like it. And we were like grinding away to come up with content. But anyways, yeah. back to my point on the store, it's like when they moved, it kind of coincided. I didn't even realize it, but I don't get to hang out. They don't have that store anymore. So you don't get this, the whole thing we started with. What's so great about this? Hanging out in a comic book store and talking comics, whatever comes to mind. Right. And Slade and I did it a little bit this morning, but it's tough. It's a tight space. You can't, like in Friendly Neighborhood before, like even the big store when you were in there, Slade and I could go off and talk spoilers in the corner.
Right.
You know, you can't do that now. You can't, somebody comes in the store and you're like,
right.
you know, it's tough.
Yeah, it's a small space. Well, I mean, I know my store's small too, so.
Not this small.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, your store is about the size of what they moved into, which still, it's not bad. You know, that's a comic book store.
No, it's 1,200 square feet. Yeah, it's 1,200 square feet. So, I mean, it's not giant, but it serves my purposes.
Yeah. So what are we chatting about this week, John? How'd everything go today?
It's a good day. Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean,
three Jokers is a hit.
Three Jokers, number three. We had Last Ronin. We had Spawn, the Chadwick Boseman tribute cover. So, I mean, there were some big releases this week. So, yeah, it was a pretty good day. Good day for sales. Good day for people coming in. Bad day for telling 1,000 people that I didn't have any more Last Ronins. But,
yeah, what happened with that? Slade said the same thing to me. Like, I got
IDW kind of screwed us. They allocated, they didn't honor the FOC, which really kind of makes you wonder why you did it in the first place.
Right.
You know? They had already set their print run prior to FOC because they print overseas, out of the country. So they guesstimated on a print run prior to FOC, and then the orders came in
and they guessed wrong
much higher. Right. Yeah, they guessed wrong. So the orders came in much higher. So everybody got allocated a percentage of their shipment, and didn't have enough. And you know, unfortunately, even with the allocation, we probably would have had enough if they didn't tell everybody they had the allocation. You know what I mean?
No, like I don't know what that means.
All right,
I'm not being wise. I really don't.
No. Well, listen, my customers don't know how many copies I ordered of that, right?
Right.
So if I ordered 20% less than what I ordered, my customers wouldn't have known that happened. The problem is they created a false demand and frenzy for this because they made people think that it was limited because they didn't have enough copy. You know what I mean? More people came out to buy it than would have bought it prior to them making an announcement.
So them announcing we don't have enough created an issue, the fact that we didn't have enough.
right. Because the speculators glommed onto it. You know, like, this was already, you know, like I said, I order two copies a month of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Right.
You and I talked about that a few times.
I ordered like 40 copies of this.
Right.
You know, obviously I don't know what the math is, but that's, you know, like 10,000 times more than my normal circulation, right? So that would have been enough. But the fact that IDW and, you know, Rich over there at Bleeding Cool had to post something saying, you know, there's this big shortage on, you know, Last Ronin. And then all of a sudden they were pre-selling on eBay for $25 a copy. And, there was false demand for it.
Right.
So the allocation probably still would have covered my normal business. But the fact that, I'm glad to have sold out. So, I mean, I'm not complaining necessarily, but because it did drive up the prices of the ratios and I got way more than I would have gotten for them.
Right. But for people like myself that said hey, I've been in on this since day one, since it was announced, you and I both were. But I said to Slade, I go, I'd love to get a copy of each cover. I'd love to get this and that. And we'd been talking about it for a while. And then lo and behold, it's like, I'm sorry. It's either I give you what you asked for, which is over, you know, I just wanted them because I like the turtles, not because I'm a speculator or anything. But if he does that for me, there are people that ask for books that would never get a book. But now those people are speculating and that stinks.
For the first 7 days of any release, I limit people to one copy of a particular book. Once it goes past the first week, they can buy whatever they want. I don't really care. But for the first week, I limit it to one copy. But for anybody that orders prior to FOC, I'll let them order whatever they want.
Right.
Like if you want 50 copies of something, no problem because it's not affecting my shelf copies. So I had people that ordered multiple copies of this. And I had to allocate them all down to one copy.
Exactly. That's what happened.
Just so I could have a few for the shelf. Which I didn't like doing, but, you know, I didn't like getting allocated either. So.
Right. And that's what happened to me. Yeah.
Right. It's a product of what it is. Now, I can neither confirm nor deny that I may have held a couple of back that didn't make it to the shelf, but still.
Confirm or deny.
Yeah. But yeah, so in any case, I was out by noon. They were gone. An hour after I opened, the copies I had for the shelf were gone. And then I had phone calls all day long with people looking for it, so.
And I've scanned ahead on our notes, and we will talk about this later.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
We will.
So, more to come on The Last Ronin.
On The Last Ronin, yes.
Very interesting. What else we got?
Yeah. A little bit of news, not as much as last week.
I don't think we've ever had a week like we had last.
No,
week.
Last week was enough. It's like 3 weeks worth of news.
Yeah,
last week, but a couple of things, and these are all pretty quick. But it looks like they're moving forward with a sequel to The Last Starfighter. Thank God, it's only been 45 years since the original came out.
It'll probably be over 50 by the time it gets made.
Yeah. But I always loved that movie when I was a kid. So,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, none of the same people are going to be in it because they're all way too old.
So if it's not the same person, then it wasn't the last Starfighter.
Exactly.
he was the second to last.
Yeah.
Last Starfighter part deux.
Until the next one. Yeah. But yeah, looks like the original screenwriter, I think, is on board though. So, which he was he was the one that was holding. This has been trying to get made for years, and I think it was the writer of the original one that was kind of holding things up because he wasn't willing to let somebody else write it. I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Again, this is probably 3 years away from ever being seen, at least. But should be cool.
That sounds like you read the article.
Well, no, it's just the headlines, but I've heard about this guy before.
Oh, okay.
This has popped up in the past where, you know, they've wanted to get it made. But I'm questioning now, like, how do you make this movie in 2020? Because the original done in the 80s, you know, he played on an arcade machine.
Yeah.
Those don't exist anymore. So, like, ooh. Now are we playing at home on our PS5?
Actually, and, I have a listener on my other podcast is telling me how to set up an arcade in my house. The arcade game. You get the systems and you can have a bunch of games put into it.
Yeah. Yeah. You buy the cabinet and now, you know,
exactly.
The computer chip these days can hold 1,000 games.
Right.
So, yeah, you just have the cabinet and you have whatever you want, which would be really cool. I would never use it, but I would love to have one in my house.
Well, that's the thing is if I ever get that quote unquote waiting room outside my home theater, that will definitely have one of those in it, a video game.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm wondering how that works these days. I guess, people are playing on their iPhones and their PS5s and they're being monitored by the alien races. So there was that. This is a piece of visual news. So it's kind of hard to,
everybody put your talk about thinking caps news, on your imagination.
But, I don't know if you saw they revealed the costume for,
Red Hood.
No, well, that's not where.
Oh,
that's
no.
on my notes. But this is for Batwoman.
Oh no, I didn't.
They
see
revealed.
That.
Yeah, they revealed the first full body shot of Javicia Leslie.
Okay.
As Batwoman. So the costume's a little bit different than it originally was, but you know, still looks like Batwoman. Still got the red wig, which I don't know why had to stick with the red wig because it's clearly
does
not
she?
The same woman.
I don't think she does have the red wig. She has a wig.
Well, her hair looks red.
But it's red on the ends. The picture I'm looking at, anyways. The CW. It says it's done by. This is on Den of Geeks. And it has a side by side comparison. It looks. Actually, I like the newer costume better.
Yeah, the newer one looks better.
Yeah.
It looks better.
It's got red. The red pieces on the forearms there.
Right.
The bat looks very the same. The cowl looks the same. But yeah, she has more of a, like, what? It's almost like more of an African-American hair, but with red ends.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like
it. Yeah, it looks cool.
Ooh, there's a cool view of it, too, as you scroll down. It's got, like, her looking at you in a side view.
Right.
This is going to be cool.
Yeah, looks good. And then, yeah, the next piece of visual news is we've basically confirmed Red Hood for Titan Season 3 based on the photo images of Jason Todd wearing the Red Hood costume.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's hard to do visuals over an audio platform, but if you're interested, you've probably seen these anyway.
We do it every
week. It looks like Red Hood.
Our FOC. Well,
our covers, yeah. you know, he looks like Red Hood. Looks good. I think, I don't know, we'll see where he shows up in the season, because I thought, by the way, you know, season two ended, we're a little bit far away from Red Hood, you know?
Well, yeah, you and I talked about that a couple weeks ago, and it's like, I don't think it's going to have the same origin story.
Well, there's no way, because there's no way they do that in this season.
Unless they backstory it in. Like, it happens away from the show, and then he just shows up, and you go, you don't know my past. Okay.
Right. I mean, they were planting the seeds for Red Hood with him at the end of season two. But I don't think we get the Joker beaten in the death with a crowbar scene in this show. So they're going to have to alter it somewhat. But yeah, I don't know. It looks good. You know, I'm not convinced that he cuts the imposing figure for Red Hood. You know what I mean? Like, he's a smaller guy.
Yeah.
So he doesn't quite look Red Hood to me. So we'll have to see how that turns out. In the show, but you know, again, I'm just looking forward to Titans coming back. So, whatever they do, I'm sure it's going to be good.
I heard one person comment about the costume, and they're like, the head's a little big. It's a hood.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a hood over.
It's like, I didn't understand.
I mean, they didn't enlarge his head.
No,
you know what I mean. Hood. It's just his regular head.
He's wearing
with
a red hoodie.
Right.
It's like.
Like, whatever size his head was,
I'm
that's
looking
what
at
it
going,
still is.
It's dead on. I like it.
Yeah, I know. I think it looks really good. Like I said, it looks like Red Hood.
Yeah.
They've been really good with the somewhat good with the costumes on that show. Like, Nightwing looks great.
Well, remember when season one started and you didn't like, what's her name? She looked like a hooker, you said.
Starfire.
Yeah.
That's what I say. They were really good with Wonder Girl's costume. They were really good with Nightwing, with Hawk and Dove. But they've been less accurate with, like, Starfire and even, like, Raven and Garfield are a little bit less accurate. So they're a little bit hit and miss with their costumes. But Red Hood looks good. I think, you know, that's dead on. So,
well, ever since Jason Todd showed up, I remember that episode, and we were like, oh! Like, everybody, the talk has been, all you had to say was Jason. And we're like,
yeah, you know,
we know,
right,
we're getting,
you know, eventually,
we want Red Hood. We don't know we're getting him, but.
Yeah, you knew eventually that he was going to become Red Hood, but I kind of thought that would be a season four thing. You know, we would spend most of season three. Although, again, this could just be the finale of season three for all we know. Because I feel like they're going to need some setup.
Similar like they
going,
did with Nightwing.
With Nightwing, right. You didn't see him until the second to last episode.
And didn't they do this at the beginning of season two with Nightwing? Like, we're going to get Nightwing. And they kind of like tease it a little bit. And you're like,
well, again, you knew.
And then it was.
Because at the end of season one is when he burned the Robin suit. So you knew it was coming eventually. But yeah,
he went the whole season without a suit.
Right. They strung you through the whole season before you got it. So, you know, we'll have to see what they do with this. Yeah, I don't know. Should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like Oscar Isaac has been cast as Moon Knight. Take that with a Tatiana Maslany-sized grain of salt. Because
now, are you saying that's big or little? Because as grain of salt go, that's huge. But as far as like women go, she's tiny.
She's tiny, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I have big question marks next to this because, you know, we've kind of been burned once with the She-Hulk announcement. But, you know.
I don't know if we were burned. We were, like, stung a little.
Well, not really burned, yeah.
Because we don't even know. It might still be true.
It might still be true.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I love Oscar Isaac. I think he'll be great as Moon Knight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully that turns out to be the case. But like I said, I'm a little skeptical until Disney actually comes out and makes a formal announcement on that.
Yeah.
And then, and then the last thing I had was a cancellation. It looks like Peacock has canceled Brave New World after season one. So I don't know. I know, like we talked briefly earlier, you never even really finished watching it.
No,
I enjoyed that show.
Yeah, Jen didn't like it, so I ended up having to go it alone, and it was only like three episodes in. I do like it. I just when you mentioned it, I didn't even when we were talking earlier, I was like, "What show was that?"
Yeah,
you had to describe it.
Well,
like,
there's
many
shows. Yeah,
that's
so many.
Demi
shows.
Moore's in it.
Yeah, Demi Moore and I can't remember the actress that was in it. But she'd been on a couple of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked the I liked that show.
Did it finish strong?
I thought it finished well, but it also didn't finish. Like, you know, it's not a complete story. So
right.
If they don't do a season two somewhere else, because it looks like they're shopping it around to other streamers. So we'll have to see. I know that it aired apparently overseas on like Amazon. Affiliates in other countries, so there's a possibility that Amazon Prime could pick it up. I don't know what the viewership was like on Peacock.
Maybe it'll go to the movies.
Yeah,
it'll go to the theaters. Opposite way.
Yeah. So that's a shame.
Yeah,
for those that watched it, because like I said, I was interested to see where it was going to go for the next season.
Well, like you said earlier, maybe they are shopping it because it does have some value to it and they can make some money off of it. You know, we could just put this out on our own platform and make no additional money off of it other than the people are on our platform, or we could sell it and, you know, make something else. I don't know.
Right. Well, and I think maybe it might have been too expensive for the viewership that they got, you know, similar to like Swamp Thing on
DC
Universe, just being way too expensive for that service because they didn't have the subscriber base. But maybe somebody like a Netflix or Amazon Prime who has a lot more subscribers, you know, it might be more cost effective for them to do it. So we'll see. What happens?
I read an article this week, the whole article, not just the headline.
Not just the headline?
And they were saying, and it wasn't CBR, it was some, but they had an ad for them on their website, so they've got to be affiliated. So, right. But they said, like, talking about, like, Swamp Thing or even how the viewership went up when certain things got moved over to HBO Max. And they said it was because people tend to like the binge watching over the once dropping once a week type thing. And I'm like, that's not it.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. No. I think it was that they gave out the service for free to 50 million people. DC Universe didn't do that.
DC Universe didn't have the viewership that HBO Max has. And then they said, and we'll see when like Titan season 3 comes out and they're like, people will enjoy the binge watching over the once a week. And I was like, you think HBO Max is going to put that out all at once?
I was going to say, where did they say they were going to do binging? Because HBO Max has not done that with any of their shows yet.
No.
They didn't do it with Lovecraft Country. They didn't do it with Perry Mason. As far as I know, they haven't done it with anything. So the chances of them doing that with Titans is pretty slim.
Yeah, I'm reading more and more articles of like DC Universe stuff showing up and people thinking it's new and it's great because they didn't know about DC Universe or didn't watch it.
I think they're right.
And
they're basing it on the fact that like season two of Doom Patrol was there all at once.
Right.
Well, that's because it was already done somewhere else.
Right. You know. Exactly. Actually, I think that is the one that they were talking about. Like, Doom Patrol was like, Doom Patrol did so much better here than it did over there. And it was like, that's because it's more viewer, it's apples and oranges.
Right. There's so many more people on that platform. And again, mostly because it was given for free to anybody that had any connection to AT&T.
Plus I think more
we'll
people
see what
just
happens
have
when
HBO
the,
than had DC Universe, period.
Right, but we'll see what happens when the 12-month free trial is up.
Well, we'll see. So, GamesRadar.com this week had an article about The Mandalorian. Quote, so The Mandalorian season 2 premiere runtime is apparently 52 minutes.
Fantastic.
And that's news.
That's more than any other. Yeah, that's more than any other episode of season 1. So
right. But what I thought was funny about that is, one, 52 minutes makes a report. That's the news. Like, it runs longer than any, I think that was the headline. It runs longer than any other previous episode. And two, have you been on social media? Are you seeing the hype from Mandalorian? Like, no, this is like Endgame-esque. Because it is the most recent Disney product, I think, other than, well
Mulan,
but that was more for kids. But people our age, there hasn't been anything like this since The Mandalorian.
Right. Since season one.
Yeah. Everything since then has been postponed, or we didn't even get, like, Black Widow was always slated as the next one after Far From Home, right?
Right.
And obviously that's been postponed till next year. So we literally got Mandalorian, and then the follow-up big hype is Mandalorian 2. And it's right. Showing. It's like everybody's excited about it. Everybody's like, can't wait to talk about it. Can't wait to see it. I mean, I'm included in that. But it's just for a streaming show to turn into what this is turning into, only because of the world that we're in right now. It's like everybody wants to sit at home and check this out. And we're going to get one episode.
Exactly.
But it's going to be 52 minutes, John. Yeah, that's a headline right there. Or at least that's what they're reporting.
I've got my Friday afternoon / evening.
Plans. Oh, I'll be watching that first thing in the morning. Even if I was working on that day. It's supposed to snow here.
Well, I won't be able to because Lydia will be at work. So,
yeah. Oh, did you get your notification? I don't know why this Apple TV Plus is free for me until February.
Until February, yeah.
Did you see why they're doing that? They don't want my money?
Just because of COVID, they're extending the free.
Oh, that's nice of them.
The free trial.
That's what I figured.
Because it should have ended.
Now,
for most people in like November, yeah.
Yeah, November, 7th, I think it started. Yeah. So it should be coming up. So right. That was pretty cool.
So that's good because I was actually on the fence of whether or not I was going to convert it to a paid subscription. Because like I haven't seen any announcements of any season twos for any of those shows that we watched. And I liked a lot of the shows that were on there, but like, you know, without knowing.
That's a great
if
point.
Any of them are coming back, you know, I don't know. So and now I have until February at least to decide what I'm going to do with it.
Right. But that's a great point because maybe some of the stuff that was supposed to be renewed that we're supposed to get, you know, season two of has been delayed because of COVID. And that gives them the opportunity to be like, all right, just keep it for free. So instead of just dropping, because like you said, there's nothing new. Why would I keep it?
Yeah, I can't. So, I watched.
Hopefully,
in February,
we'll get new stuff there. Some fresh stuff.
I am watching Tehran.
How's that?
On that right now. It's actually really good. I think this week is probably the finale. But I can't really think. I think the last thing I watched before that was the Defending Jacob. And that was months ago. And then
prior to that. That was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. But there's no season two for that, so it's already done. And prior to that, I hadn't watched anything really since the initial round of shows. So I don't think I would, like, if it was ending tomorrow, I don't think I would convert it to a paid subscription at this point.
Right.
We'll see what they do. But
I probably would.
But, you know, like I said, they've had good content. It's just been a little bit far between. Like, I think they had the Tom Hanks movie, the submarine movie, right? That was Apple TV.
Yeah, they bought that one.
They bought that. But I'm just saying, like, for the 12-month period...
Greyhound,
kinda,
I think it was. Was that
Greyhound, yeah.
Greyhound.
It's
yeah,
been kind of
really
sparse
good.
On content. Although, you could say the same thing about Disney Plus. So...
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, COVID has a lot to do with that. I'm betting we would have had some more shows or season twos by now if it wasn't for...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. COVID, so. That's why, and that's it, my first point was that they're doing this to buy themselves some time to get some fresh content out there that, you know, season twos or whatever. And I know The Morning Show. I know that's slated for a season two.
I actually really liked The Morning Show. I really liked C. And then what was the other? There was a third one. For All Mankind. I really liked that show as well.
I never watched that one or haven't yet.
That was really good, actually. Really good. Lydia and I liked, but again, that was all in the first round of programming. We were kind of watching each one of those shows every week.
Right.
And then, you know, really since then, there hasn't been much. We watched, what else was on there? The one you told me to watch. The one about the video game.
Console Wars? Was that on there?
No. The one where they make the video game.
The
guy with the beard that kind of looks like Ryan Reynolds a little bit.
I don't know.
Knight's Quest or something.
I know the one you're talking about. Wait, yeah, it's like a spoof or a.
Right, like they're making an MMO. Yeah, they're like making like World of Warcraft. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like The Office. It was a half hour. Yeah, and then they did that like COVID episode where they were all locked down at home. That one was
so whatever that was. Yeah, I did watch that too.
Yeah, something
so, like
about
I said, they've
Quest
had,
or something.
They've had good stuff.
They've had some real good stuff. I haven't really heard of anything that was bad. Maybe it wasn't like what we would like, but
because there's a few things that I didn't
very
watch.
High.
Like, I didn't watch Dickinson, which I know got renewed for a season two.
I heard that was really good.
I heard it was good, but I didn't watch that. Yep. I don't think it's in my wheelhouse, but you never know. I have eclectic tastes, so
yeah,
it might be good. But yeah, I don't know. We've talked a long time about Apple TV. But,
I know. That's okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, moving on.
Yeah. you know what I'm wondering, too? Not that...
Tell us.
Well, because I just bought another Apple TV, like a month ago.
There you go.
So now I'm wondering if I get another year out of it.
I don't know if they're having that same...
Yeah, I don't know. I have to check and see, because I might get another whole year for buying a new device. So.
I know. Because otherwise, I'd get it free every year then, because I pretty much get a phone in this house one way or the other.
Yeah, somebody's getting a new phone every year.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So moving on, Brian Detrani, one of our listeners, he Instagrammed me the private things, but he sent me a really cool, like, it's a short video, but it's of a pumpkin. I don't know how to put it out to anybody. He kind of sent it. I actually checked his Instagram. It wasn't on there, but he carved it with the Mandalorian logo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool looking. He did an awesome job on it. And it was, like, you know when you carve a pumpkin, like, for design, you don't go all the way through. You just take, like, the skin off to give the design. Yeah. So that's what it looked like. But the whole front of the pumpkin was that, what is it, the ram or whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Looked really good. And Fandom tweeted just a few hours ago, WB is currently committed to Wonder Woman 1984's theatrical release on Christmas Day, says CEO. But the final decision hinges on how the U.S. continues to open and whether there are any surges.
Right.
We all have urges.
We all have urges. Well, but, considering that like 3 days ago we had like the worst day for new cases we've had
since the
it
beginning.
Started.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're surging already.
I know. And that's why I said we'll just came out a few hours ago, and it's like, and then the quote from the CEO is how the U.S. continues to open and whether there are any other surges. Well,
right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think a lot.
And whether AMC still exists. So.
Yeah. Whether there are theaters.
They might be out of money before December.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that's too bad. But I the way things are right now, I don't see how they can open, but things can change. That's all I'll say.
Right. Well, yeah. You just never know.
You know, things can change pretty quickly. So we will see, I guess. We will see.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope to see it in December because dying to see that movie, but I don't know. I'm dubious at best. Let's put
I said, when they first moved it to there, it's like, this is going to be a weird holiday. If we're still in the even just as we are right now, if everything just stayed exactly as it is right now, I just don't see the general public going out a lot at the holidays.
Right.
Because that's when you're going to be with your family. And if you go and mingle with a bunch of other people and then go get with your family, that's right. not cool. I mean, I'm playing hockey right now, and my buddy Scott, who I skate with, he plays in another league the night before, same rink. And he calls me on a Friday and says, the guy I skated with on his line tested positive the day after right. they skated. So that means he was exposed. So if he put, and he's like, I'm going to get tested, because he was like literally with him in the locker room and on the bench. He obviously came up negative, not obviously, but he came up negative. So we're all fine. But it's, that's that situation right there with hockey. That made me wonder, like, is this worth it? Only because of work. Because if I have to miss work, I don't get paid. There's nothing.
Exactly.
You know, I'm screwed. Yeah. So that made me think, is this all worth it, right? What are people going to be like with this line of thinking at the holidays and going to a movie?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, I feel the same as you. Like, I don't want to get it simply because if I have to shut my store, if I can't work for 2 weeks, I have to close the store.
Right.
You know? So it's not so much, you know, obviously I don't want to, like, I want to remain healthy, but I'm not so much worried about my health as much as I am, like, having to close my business down for a couple of weeks, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it's, yeah, same thing. If I pick it up somewhere, I'm screwed, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, then yeah, it's just, oh, well. So we'll see what happens come the holidays, come these movies. I just,
yeah.
I just don't see how this would be possible.
I was going to say, all that being said, if it's in the theaters, I'm going.
I'm going.
Yeah, so.
I'm going. I'm, you know, we'll see what happens. I think the theaters are actually cleaner than a hockey rink.
Because I saw the other day that they're thinking about shopping the James Bond movie to streamers. And
I heard that rumor too, but I also heard it got squashed.
Okay. I was going to say, cause you know, again, this is Daniel Craig's last outing as Bond, and
right.
they paid him a boatload of money to come back to do this. I can't imagine they don't want to get that theatrical money for it.
Well, but one of the rumors I heard was they were offered like 700.
Oh, well,
million.
I'd take it. I'd sell it for seven. Why? Well, I get that. I bid 701. Yeah. No, I knew you meant million, but you know, yeah, I might take 700 million for
That's
it.
What I'm saying. Would yeah. like what streaming service would have that kind of money? Probably Apple.
Amazon,
Apple,
or
Amazon,
Apple,
Disney.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, you really, they all have it except for Peacock, but.
But do they get it back? With a streaming, do you really get that
it's
back?
It's hard to say. I don't think they do.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
But I got it. It's funny you say that. I know this is the a comics podcast, but it is what we talk about in the store. So, but I got to tell you, this whole COVID thing, I've really changed my like back in February, I was like, no, I don't want movie theaters to go away. We need that. And we still do. I love right. going to the movies. But if any of these things pop up, we're just so hurting for content. I would love it. I mean, you know, you and I both,
oh, yeah.
we have the theaters, yeah. so we're fine.
Oh, yeah.
We can
I'd
watch
be all
it and
over
experience
it. I mean,
if
No Time to Die shows up on HBO Max or something, I'm there.
Oh, cranking
you know?
It up and being like, you know, inviting people over that have tested negative, not positive.
Right.
But yeah, it's.
Speaking of.
Funny how the world has changed.
I was just say, speaking of viewership and getting their money back and all that stuff too, you know, Amazon Prime dropped Borat 2 over the last weekend.
Yeah.
And I saw an article, and now again, I saw the headline for an article.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
That said that more people watched Borat than Mulan on their opening weekend. Could it be that one was free? And one was $30. Maybe could that have anything to do with the fact that more people watched Borat
right.
than Mulan?
Right. Yeah, but one was
you're not comparing apples to apples there.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is, did you see where they were saying how many people downloaded it? And it's like
Borat?
Yeah, anybody that opened their Amazon Prime had it downloaded. It's like,
that's true. They had it automatically. Yeah, all you had to do was open your service.
It's like, there you go. If you were on Amazon Prime, it's like, you got it. And, you know, just like, anybody listening to this podcast, if you hit subscribe, whether you ever listen again or not, we get the credit for that.
Exactly.
It's like, that's right. Those numbers don't mean, I mean, we appreciate the listeners and we like those numbers, but it's like, you got to understand there are some people that'll never listen to you. You ever go on your iPhone again and be like, do you want to keep subscribing? Yeah, I like those guys.
Right.
But clearly haven't listened in a while. But it's, yeah, it's, I saw one report that it was like 150 million people watched it. It's like, I don't know. Don't they have, and somebody said, replied to it, like, don't they have like 150 million subscribers or something?
Right. So you're saying everybody watched it?
Because I haven't seen it yet. I heard it was good. Is it good?
Yeah, it was. I only saw the second half of it. Lydia was watching it when I was watching the football game the other day.
Oh, okay.
So when I had enough of watching the Patriots lose, I went into the room and watched the second half of the movie. Yeah, it was good. I need to go back and watch it from the beginning, because I didn't know exactly what was going on. But,
well, it doesn't seem like that deep of a movie.
It wasn't that deep, but I mean, I kind of missed the setup in the beginning.
Right.
But I did see the Rudy Giuliani stuff and everything else. Yeah.
Is it bad? Is it funny?
It's pretty bad. Yeah, it's bad.
Do you think he knew?
No.
No. Then how did it get on air? Because you can't put that on. You have to get him to sign off.
He signed off to do an interview. He thought he was doing an interview for a news magazine for like a,
And that's legal? You can, and put that in a movie? Cause you can't.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it yet, so I have no idea what happened, but it's to embarrass
somebody
like that.
Once you consent to doing an interview, I guess, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it was set up though, because he doesn't come off looking good. And I don't think he would agree to that, you know.
That's what I mean. That's tough. That's tough.
Although, you know, they're getting sued. Amazon's getting sued.
Are they?
All right. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was funny though. I was like, because immediately I was like, well, one was $30 and one was free.
Yeah. So. One has nothing to do. Yeah. You can't compare the two, but.
If Mulan was free on Disney Plus, it would have had 10 times the viewers that it actually got.
Oh, God, you
know? Yeah.
So. Yeah. And I think, well.
Plus, like you said, because then all you would have had to do is log into the service and it would be on your system.
Exactly.
So. Right. Yeah, and Disney Plus is a cheaper platform overall than Amazon Prime.
Right. If you don't have Amazon Prime, you're paying, what, like $8, $9, is it?
I don't even know.
They raised
their price.
Oh, did they?
Amazon Prime, they rebilled me at $130. It was $99 when I signed up.
That was years ago, though.
Well, I didn't sign up until I had the store open, so it hasn't been that long. I've only had Amazon Prime for a few years. Yeah. Well, I don't even think I did it right away.
Oh.
But
I love Prime.
Yeah, within the last 5 years.
It cost me a lot of money,
anyways.
But I love it.
Well, yeah, I love it, too.
And here it is. I ordered something.
I definitely get my money's worth with the shipping because of all the stuff I buy for the store. So.
Oh, of course. Same here. Yeah. I get a lot of my supplies through them now, through Amazon. Yeah. I'm out on the road, boom, click, and it's here in 2 days, if not a day. I ordered something a week or so ago, and it showed up same day.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get that, but I ordered something last Thursday and had it Friday. So,
yeah, I ordered it like on a Thursday morning and I was here and I'm like, what? A package got
showed up
like,
that afternoon.
I just ordered this morning and it showed up that afternoon. I was like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. When they're getting that fast.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Like I said, I was surprised I got something the next day. So I ordered a neck massage. I hurt my neck the other day, so I ordered one of those heating
Heating pad.
Wraps.
Yeah, the wrap.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I ordered it Thursday afternoon when I was sitting on the couch watching TV. I said, man, my neck hurts. I need one of these things. And Friday it had it.
There you go. Like,
awesome.
Yeah. I still like to go shopping, though.
Yeah.
But. All right. Anything
else?
We're
way up. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't even know where we are.
Trying to reel us back into shore
we're
here.
So far off course. Yeah, I don't even know. It's like we're talking about buying neck wraps on Amazon and what shows are on Apple TV. And
welcome back to the Bright Side Tangent. Yeah.
Borat.
Borat. You know,
Rudy Giuliani. So.
Oh, you want to talk politics?
Oh, yeah, let's.
Let's not. We haven't this far. Yeah. Anyways, all right. You want to get into some comics?
Sure.
This is a comics show.
It is a comics podcast. We're 87 minutes in. We haven't talked about comics yet.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
Whole bunch of things, actually. We kind of touched on it already, but a lot of big releases this week. First one we haven't talked about yet is Batgirl number 50. This is the first appearance of Ryan Wilder, who is the new Batwoman on the CW show. So this is her first comic book.
Oh, really? They're dropping her in? That's cool.
Yeah, so the news of this leaked last week, and it already sent people scrambling for this. Because, again, not knowing this ahead of FOC, nobody ordered enough of these things to support the demand.
And your DC FOC is so screwed up anyways.
Yeah, it's on Sundays. So, yeah, this is trending at $15 and up. There have been sales as high as $40 on this. That's for the main cover. The B cover is a little bit less in demand, but it's still selling for, between $10 and $12. So I got a chance to read this today, and this was a very last-minute inclusion, I think. Her appearance in this show is a homeless woman that...
You mean in the book?
In the book, yeah. Her appearance in the book is a homeless woman that Barbara talks to on the street. Okay. This seems to me something that was... There was a homeless character already in the book, and they went back and rewrote her to be Ryan Wilder. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this was planned. That's the way I felt when I was reading it. It really felt shoehorned in. Like, this interaction was taking place in the book regardless, and somebody had the bright idea to call her Ryan Wilder. At least that's what I believe.
It's not a bad idea. It's a shame it's not it a came bad off idea. That way.
It's like not a bad it. Idea, but when I read it, that's kind of how I got, because, you know, Barbara was going through a bunch of interactions. This was the last issue of Batgirl, and, you know, she's got a little crisis of conscience because she doesn't think she's doing enough on the local level. So there's like a 3-page montage where she's just walking around talking to a bunch of people on the street, helping an old lady carry her groceries and stuff like that. And she ends up talking to this homeless girl, and then, you know, they drop the name. So I think it was just like, I really think it was just dropped in there because the art on this would have had to have been done months ago. So, I don't know. But in any case, this is now her first official appearance in comics continuity. Actually, it's her first appearance anywhere because it comes ahead of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Now, the thing is, whether we ever see her again in a comic remains to be seen, because I don't think she becomes Batwoman in the comics. Kane isn't going anywhere. Unless it's in Future State or something, but... In any case, I didn't even get to see any of these because all mine came in damaged, so I didn't even have a copy to sell to anybody today. So that was fun.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Speaking of, again, not to go on a tangent, but I had my first bad week with Lunar since the whole thing started.
I haven't had him last week.
Well, I haven't had a single issue with them. Really haven't had a single issue with them since the beginning, and... This week I had 53 damaged comics. Like almost my entire shipment of DC books, except for 3 Jokers, was damaged.
Right.
So I had no copies of Batgirl, Detective, the Dark Knight's book, Batman Beyond. Like, I literally had no DC books except for 3 Jokers. So that kind of sucked.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But yeah. If you can find that, go out and grab it. The next book is Canto 2, Hollow Men, issue number 3. The 1 in 10 variant cover for this is selling for about $20.
Oh, cool.
Speaking of Dark Knight's Death Metal, Rise of the New Gods was the book that came out today for everybody but me. There's a 1 in 25 variant for this that's selling for between $60 and $80. So that's quite a bit for a 1 in 25 variant. Speaking of one in 12, go ahead. I was going to say, have
you been reading we talked early on. Have you been keeping up with death metal?
I've read all of it except for last week's, the Robin King one.
Yeah.
I opened it up and I realized it was drawn by that guy that I hate.
That you didn't like. Yep.
And I didn't read it. I looked at the art and I put it down. I said, I don't like this guy's art. He shows up in all of those 80-page giants. There's always, you know, a story done by this guy. And right. I don't even know his name. But I can't stand the artwork.
Sketchy.
And so as soon as I saw that he did this book, I put it down. I didn't even want to read it. So,
other than that,
I've read all of them, including the one that came out today. I don't like this story as much as I liked Dark Knight's Metal.
Right.
I think this one is not nearly as good. But it's still, I mean, it's fine, but
it didn't grab me.
To me, it's not as good as the
first
one.
I'm not liking it as much. And I fell off it and we hadn't talked about it. So I was like, oh, I have all the books. I'm like, do I get back into it? But it's like, I know like Nick and Dr. Joe like it over at TLDR and Nick loves it. And I'm like, I just can't.
I fell off within the first five.
And after listening to Nick, I was like, you know what? I'll keep going because he really likes it. And I'm like, man, we're just going to have to differ, buddy.
I'm going to finish reading it. I'll read all of these because they come through the store. Like I said, it's really no extra cost to me to read them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to read them other than my time is all it costs me. So.
Right.
And they're not horrible, but.
I didn't say they were horrible. I'm just not really that intrigued with it for some reason. I don't know why, but.
Yeah. I don't either. It's just, like I said, to me, it's not as good as the first one. All right. So the next, I was going to say, speaking of 1 in 25 variants, Department of Truth number 2 came out.
Yes.
The 1 in 25 variant for that is selling for between $80 and $125, which is crazy. It's a crazy looking cover.
Which one
too.
Is that?
It was like the guy working on like a dead baby or something like that.
Did you read number 2 yet?
I haven't read number 2 yet.
It's good.
But this, I wish I would have had my own notes before yesterday because I preset my prices on these variants.
Oh.
And I sold mine for $25.
You did that again, huh?
Yeah. I didn't think, I mean, honestly, I had no idea that this book would that it would go that high. Like if I sell it for $25 and it ends up selling for $40, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But you know, $80 to $125, that's a big deal. I was kind of hoping the guy that whose box I put it in would decide he didn't want it.
Yeah,
but he paid. Yeah, because you know the problem is I set the price. Well, I set the price. The way I do it is I set the prices, right. I put them in their boxes, and then when I close the invoice, it sends an email out telling everybody what they got. So he got an email saying he had this in his box for $25. At that point, it was too late for me to change the price on it. You know, I mean, right. I'm not that kind of – I know some stores would do that, but I'm not that kind of guy. So I was like, well
– if you keep waiting to come in, it keeps going up as the eBay price goes up.
Right, but I was like, well, maybe he'll see it in his box and decide he doesn't want to pay $25 and he'll send me an email and say he doesn't want it, but he bought it.
Oh, well.
So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. I still made money on it, but I was like, wow, that's a big difference. All right, next on the list is Spawn 311. So there was a couple of things that happened with this book today. The first one, of course, was the Chadwick Boseman tribute cover that Todd McFarlane did. Just like the last issue, they gave away black and white sketch covers to the store based on 20% of what your total order was. So it ends up being a 1 in 5 variant, basically, which is selling for about $10. So that's double ratio, but it's not crazy. $10 is a pretty good price. But there was also a misprint with the covers. That basically the printer switched the A and C covers. So that did affect order quantity somewhat.
Oh.
Because, you know, I order more of the A cover than I do anything else, because of subscribers which subscribe to that cover. and they ended up getting the C cover image. Now, again, most of them probably didn't even know the difference, but that didn't seem to affect the market, really. They all still seem to be going for right around cover price. So,
okay.
But yeah, but just kind of FYI that, you know, if you were into the original solicits and you liked the particular art, the A and C covers did get switched up on it.
All right.
All right. Next, we have Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 5. The 1 in 25 variant for this is selling just at ratio, or a little above, at $30. So, pretty reasonable price for that. Sympathy for No Devils issue number 1 has a 1 in 15 variant that's selling for between $20 and $25. And then really the big one besides Batgirl this week is, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. Mm. We already went over why, so I'm not going to go over it again. But it is a big speculator book at this point. The main covers, which, you know, to put it in perspective, this is a $9 book to start with at cover price. So,
right.
So the main cover is selling right now pretty regularly on eBay for about $20 to $25, which is double cover price. But the 1 in 10 variant is selling for $35, and the 1 in 25 variant is selling for about $75. So, as I mentioned, I sold out of all of my, my main covers. I did sell all my 1 in 10 variants as well. I'm still sitting on the 1 in 25 right now, which is actually the only copy of this book I have in the store. The thing that really made me mad about this whole thing is that because they allocated the main covers, they gave us less of the variants, which I don't think they should have done. You know what I mean? Like, I ordered enough to get 4 copies of the 1 in 10s, but yeah. because they cut my orders on the main cover, I only got 3 because that's all I qualified for after their allocation. And it's like, well, you know, that's your fault, not mine.
Right.
They should have still given us the 1 in 10s. So
right.
That out of this whole situation, that's what made me more mad than anything else, is that, you know, they took it upon themselves to reduce, right, you know, reduce the qualifications. They did go right back to print with a second printing of this, which comes out December 2nd, I believe. So if you didn't get a chance to get a first printing of number 1, they are doing a second printing. And they also have committed to...
Well, those are going to be worth a lot because we know how the second printings go.
Well, they could be, yeah. Because, again, here's the problem is we had to order them last Monday. So, we had to order our second printings before we knew how this one was going to do. Now, I mean, most people knew that they were going to sell out of this on day one, regardless.
Right.
I mean, I knew going into today that I was going to be out. So, I mean, I ordered quite a few copies of the second printing. So there will be more of them out there than a normal second print. But even still, I think we underestimated. Like, knowing what I know now, I probably would have gone back and ordered even more of the, you know, of the second prints. And then they have committed to not setting the print runs on 2 and 3 until after FOC, which means they're probably going to. But that just means it's going to take a little bit longer for them to come out because the lead time is going to be a little bit more. So I think this. I don't know for sure if they're going to hit their targeted dates.
For issue 2 or
what,
print?
No, for issue 2 and 3.
Ugh.
And on. And you know what killed me about this one is that.
This got delayed.
Remember, this was already delayed.
Right.
So if you were already delaying the book, why didn't you just delay it until after FOC? Nobody would have cared any more if it was 2 weeks more than it was.
Right.
Because.
Oh, man.
Nobody would have known the difference. It's not like this came out on its original date. You know?
I'm getting flashbacks to Batman Damned.
I know. I know. This might be a 6 or 7 month process.
But, how many issues is this? Is it 5?
It's 5.
5?
It's 5 issues.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So by 2022,
yeah, something like that. But yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about this book a little bit more, like we said, when we get to checkout. So, but that was it for Speculator Roundup.
All right.
So,
well, That's tough. It's tough to hear that. I'm so excited for the next one. And again, we'll talk about that more in a minute, but it's just disappointing to hear that when you hear delays in something that literally doesn't, there's no actors involved. Nobody can get sick. Right. Artists are at home. Publishers are elsewhere. Just come on, people.
Right.
It's like the one group that should be able to put stuff out on time is like, oh, sorry.
Well, the thing is, there are a handful of smaller publishers that are what's known as initial order publishers, which basically means they're not part of the FOC process. You have to get your number quantities in during the initial order because their lead time is so high or so long that they can't be part of the FOC process.
Right.
IDW, to me, should not be able to participate in the FOC process. Because obviously they're not FOC publishers because
they're winging
they can't yeah they can't
but see here's the thing I don't want to blame that. I mean, this stuff happens. I get it.
It happens.
It's just
and I'm
that
sure
we,
they
we have so much stuff delayed right now that to hear another thing is delayed, you're like, come on, you know.
Well, my thing is, I'm sure they guessed high on this to begin with because obviously they've been doing this all along with every title, and it's never really been a problem. I think they just, the frenzy for this was just more than they could handle. And, you know, it makes sense because the circulation on their regular Ninja Turtles books are set. Like, they know what they're going to sell every month. And obviously it's way less than they sell of this. So the thinking is that, well, if there's that many Turtles fans out there, why aren't they buying our monthly book, you know? Well, so
it was. We'll get into it.
But I'm saying I'm sure they guessed pretty high on this, but they still fell short.
Right.
So, you know, it's not. You know, again, I don't want to be defending them either because I think it's a bad situation. But obviously, they didn't want to run short.
No, of course not. No, and I know, and like I said, this stuff happens. Batman Damned happened, and we were disappointed, but we moved on. It's what makes it frustrating is, like I said, it's that everything's delayed right now. I mean, we're talking about Wonder Woman and at Christmas, and we know that's getting delayed. I mean, the whole world is on delay right now. And then to hear something, just another thing that I get it, it needs to be delayed, but you're just like, this too. That's all. It's just frustrating. And everybody knows it. You know, it's everybody has it. And it's, you know, it's just harder to say, okay, let's just wait. We'll wait. No problem. No. Right. Waiting for everything else. Well, yeah, but we have Mandalorian coming. That hasn't been delayed yet. Let me check Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Mandalorian is still coming out on Friday.
Still coming out Friday. Tomorrow, as you hear this. So.
Right. Or if you're late, maybe it's as
you're
hearing
it's our,
this.
Maybe you've already watched it.
Right. Or if you're really late, it came out a year ago. I don't know.
Exactly. Season 3 is already coming out.
Right.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. So. All right. So what are we getting into here? Well, back issue bonus.
Back issue bonus. So jumping right back to Mutant Ninja Turtles. Last week's issue 110 has a 1 in 10 variant that somehow looks like it has ties to this week's Last Ronin. So I'm sure you can guess what that means for this. This book jumped up. I think we talked about it last week being like a $15 book. Now it's $40 and $50. So if you ordered, you know, again, I've already told you I order 2 copies a month of Ninja Turtles, so I wasn't getting the 1 in 10 variant. there's probably not a lot of these out there, but $50 or so if you can find one. Teen Titans Go issue number 23. This is the first appearance of Red X. Again, I don't know why that's relevant because I don't know what Red X means, but that this book is selling for between $70 and $90. Again, these are kids books, so they don't have large print runs, so
I have no idea.
I don't even know, you know, I neglected to go back and see if I might have some of these on my spinner rack. So I need to go check.
I have no idea.
But anyways, if you can find that, that's a crazy price for Teen Titans Go. Mercy Sparks issue 0. this was announced as being optioned for a movie. So again, as always happens, this book jumped up from pretty much next to nothing to between $40 and $50. Again, probably not a million of these out there. So, but if you can find one, definitely worth grabbing. Gotham Academy issue number one. This was selling for about cover price. It's now selling for between $20 and $25. It looks like DC might be doing something with a character called Mia Mizuguchi, who appeared in this book. So we'll have to see what happens there. Again, another book I probably should have gone to check because it might be sitting in my back issues. Terror Titans number four. This is the first appearance of Static Shock in the DC universe. So we talked about last week his first appearance in Millennium Comics, but this is his first appearance in the DCU proper. This is selling for between $15 and $25. Cool. Assassin's Creed, issue number one from 2007. This was just announced as being optioned for a live-action Netflix show, which we didn't talk about, actually, in the news.
No, I know. Yeah. We forgot to.
Yeah, so that's really cool. This is selling for between $40 and $60.
Yeah, and that then, would... Oh, why don't you finish that up, and then we'll talk about Assassin's Creed.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say, last but not least, we have another recent release, We Live, issue number one. We talked about a few weeks ago. Main cover for this is selling for about $12, and the 1 in 15 variant is still pretty hot, selling for about $40. So that is it for back issue bonus.
All right. Yeah. Assassin's Creed, that's coming, you know, obviously you said announced for a show for Netflix, not a movie, which we had the Michael Fassbender movie, which I enjoyed.
I enjoyed it too.
A lot of people.
I know a lot of people didn't. But I liked it.
But I could understand why, because what makes the game so good, and I've never actually played the game. I've watched Joe play it, and he played it all growing up. And have you ever played the game?
I dabbled with it a little bit too, but Nick played it also a lot.
It's very,
I wasn't tied into the story. Yeah, I wasn't super tied to the story, so the movie didn't bother me as much.
But that's the thing about the game, is that each incarnation of the game was a different part of history that was like accurate.
Right.
And Joe used to come up from playing the video game and telling me stuff like, oh, I learned, or he'd learn something in school and be like, that's real. And I was like, yeah. So it's pretty cool how they incorporated that into the game and made it actually a learning experience. Right. But what I think would be really cool on a show is, does like the assassin bounce from episode to episode to different time periods?
I would hope
because
so.
That's what the video game is, you know,
or and at it's least like, maybe from season to season, because maybe. Episode to episode would be quick missions. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want it to be that fast,
right? But, the movie was good. It gave you a good overview of the idea,
right?
And they, you know, they had to kind of, you know, Hollywood it up a little bit on how he got back into the past and, you know, what they did, but it was still an interesting story. But the game itself, I think, lends itself more to a, you know, a series than it does just a movie. And I think it'll be, especially with the popularity of the video game, I think that's going to be a really popular show to start. And
if they do it well, I
think, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and they're doing it really, you know, they've got The Witcher, which they're doing a great job on, which is, you know, also based on a video game. Well, actually it's based on a series of books, but most people know it from the video game. Go ahead.
Was it a series of books before the video game, or?
Yeah. The books came out years ago.
Oh, okay.
Years before the games. I mean, the games have been out at this point for a long time, too, but.
Right.
But yeah, the books predate the video game.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, cool. I did not know that. That makes it easier then to make it a video game or a movie if it's already, or a show, I mean, if it's already been books, too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of source material out
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Which again, I wasn't a big player of the game, but from what I understand, the show was based more on the books and not so much on the game. You know, other than the characters appearing in both. It seemed to be based a lot more closely to the books than it was to the games.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. What are we on now? We get into FOC.
FOC, yeah. So starting with DC, we have variant covers. Action Comics number 1027 has a really cool John Romita Jr. variant cover.
Yeah, I saw that. You didn't have it on your website.
Because you I'm trolling everybody.
I know. It's actually horrible. Didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, it's terrible. What are you talking about?
I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, I didn't put a picture of it because I didn't actually list that on my Facebook page.
That's what I mean. You didn't put a picture on your Facebook.
I was just trolling you and the listeners.
Yeah, thank you. I looked for it, too, and I found it.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I knew you would look for it. That's why I did it. I was really trolling you more than the listeners. But
thanks. Yeah. For friends of four.
That's right. Yeah. So next, this one I actually like. It was so difficult to Google. Wonder Woman 767 has a Joshua Middleton variant cover, which is
pretty cool. Nice.
And then Flash 766 has an In-Hyuk Lee variant cover. It looks really good too, but I've noticed that like all of these Flash covers all seem to look the same.
Like, well, this is the Flash.
Well, but I'm saying In-Hyuk Lee has done these, you know, right. He's probably done like the last 10 issues. I like the art, but they seem to all be the same. Yeah, they're getting a little old.
Getting a little redundant and repetitive.
Yeah, they look the same every month.
Right.
And then let's see, new series. These are actually both one shots. There's Dark Knight's Death Metal.
Oh,
the
goody,
Multiverse. Who Laughs? I don't even want to guess what that means. But it seems like there's only one cover for that. And then another Tales from the Dark Multiverse. We have Wonder Woman War of the Gods, and there's only one cover for that.
That looks interesting.
It does, yeah. I like these Tales. I like the Dark Multiverse books so far. They've all been pretty interesting reads. Okay, moving on down to Marvel. We have variant covers for Amazing Spider-Man 53.LR. This is by Koi Pham, which is, I like that cover.
The Spider-Man? Cool. I like that a lot.
I do too.
It's almost like the classic Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Looked a little bit like the Spider-Man we grew up with.
Yeah.
And then Thor number 10, Ken Lashley. It's like a King in Black Venomized cover. And that one was pretty cool too.
I was going to say, that's not the classic Thor.
No, no, not at all. And then a bunch of new series from Marvel this week, actually. Well, a lot of these are one-shots, too, but we have Fantastic Four Road Trip, which is a one-shot with multiple covers. Heroes at Home, which is like a COVID issue.
Is that a kid's book or something?
It seems like it, yeah. It's listed with the comics, but it looks like a –
It even looks like different. A hard – like a kid's – what do you call them? What's that?
Like
publisher?
A block book or something.
Yeah, a block book or something.
But yeah, that's got multiple covers. Again, that's a one shot. All right, King in Black number 1. This is not a one shot. This is a 5-issue miniseries with a whole bunch of tie-ins. She's gonna be, like, you know, it's just like War of the Realms and
another one. Nice.
Yeah, all that stuff. This has about 100,000 covers.
Kept it small now, huh?
I ran out of fingers and toes. I can't even tell you how many covers there are for this. Okay, MODOK Head Games one shot has multiple covers. Power Pack issue 1 of 5 with multiple covers. It's not a kid's book. It's a kid's. It's a team of kids.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a kid's book specifically.
Okay.
Power Pack is part of the X universe. We have The Union, issue 1 of 5 with multiple covers.
That's a cool cover. I like that one.
Yeah, that was cool. And then 10 of Swords Destruction, which is, I mean, I say it's a one shot, but it's just one of the chapters of the 10 of Swords, and there's multiple covers for that. Last but not least, we have from Vault Comics, I Walk with Monsters, issue 1, and there's multiple covers for that.
That looks pretty cool.
It does.
I like, yeah. I mean, Vault has some cool stuff.
Vault's
anyways,
had some good stuff recently, too, yeah. So, yeah, I'll definitely be checking that one out.
Yeah.
And that is it for FOC.
All right. Let's get into this week's checkout. John, what did you check out this week?
So the first book I checked out was called Sympathy for No Devils. This is issue number one from Aftershock Comics. It was written by Brandon Thomas. It had art by Lee Ferguson. So this is basically, I'm trying to think of what that movie was that we saw recently on Netflix with Will Smith. What was the name of that movie where his partner was like a, some kind of mythical creature? They were cops. And
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. With Will
his
Smith?
His partner was like a, yeah, his partner was Bright, not Brightburn, Bright. Isn't it called Bright?
I have no idea. I don't think I saw it.
Oh, hold on. Let me put you on hold. But anyways, it was a movie basically with, you know, he was a cop and his partner was like some kind of mythological creature. I can't remember if it was like an ogre or something.
There he goes typing.
Yeah, Bright film was on Netflix.
Bright?
Yeah, it was called Bright. It had Will Smith and Joel Edgerton. But anyways, this was kind of a similar thing. We have a cop who is a human, and he's apparently the last human. Basically in the world.
I read this. And
it takes place in the future. Now, here's the thing, too. I read it, and then I had to come to the synopsis to really kind of figure out what was going on, because a lot of this information wasn't in the – you couldn't get it from the book. Like, I didn't realize reading the book that he was the only human. But basically, he was an ex-cop who was partnered with a monster. Like, there's basically a bunch of monsters that are living in the world in the future, and humans are gone. There's no indication on how or when or why this happened. So I felt like a little lost as I was reading this. But I did enjoy it. I just didn't quite know what was going on. But basically what it boils down to is he's an ex-cop, and his partner, they were investigating a murder of a colossal, which is one of the monsters that are kind of like well-to-do, wealthy individuals.
Yeah.
And he was murdered. And then basically like 3 years later, something happened in the case that causes him to quit being a cop. We don't really know what yet. And then it flash forwards to a couple years later, and on the same day of the original murder, the person that was the main suspect from that murder ends up being killed. So he kind of gets drawn back into this investigation by his ex-partner. So, I thought this was, like I said, it didn't go into great detail on a lot of this stuff. I had to read this, like I said, I had to read the synopsis to figure out part of what was going on.
Right.
But I thought the book was pretty good. Like, the art was, I liked the artwork. And I thought it was interesting. I just feel like they probably could have done a little bit better job setting up what was happening. They may, as it goes on, obviously reveal some of this stuff. And this also had, I want to call them white pages, I guess, at the end. Where
I didn't even
there was a couple
them.
Of pages I did because it that's how I found out that the second murder was actually the suspect in the main murder, because they don't say that in the book.
You don't
right. get that until you read that thing at the end. But it was basically just a bunch of white pages, which was like the transcript of his investigation of the first murder, and probably like at the end when he was getting ready to go into some disciplinary for something that happened. So I guess this all that being said, like, I thought this was pretty interesting, and I am curious to see what happens with this, but it's a little confusing. I think so
I read that. I also read, and I'm gonna couple these together, I also read Giga.
I read the preview a couple of weeks ago for that, so I didn't put it down today because I didn't reread it today.
So I read that. I read them both, and they both kind of fall under that same – and Giga by Vault Comics.
Yep.
And it's writer Alex Pacnadel and art by John Lee. And I put both of these books under the same umbrella of, I thought the art was good. I thought, you know, they were okay, but they didn't really grab me because there was just not enough explanation on what was going on. And by the end of the book, like, you're in, at least you want to go on to number two for Sympathy for No Devils. I didn't.
Yeah.
It by the end of it, I was just like, I didn't even want, like, I saw the white paint. I wasn't even interested.
Yeah.
And
I felt that way about Giga. After I read it, and unfortunately this was, we talked about it when it was on FOC and how Vault was really pushing this book and they wanted everybody to go heavy on it. And there was supposed to be a bunch of they were supposed to promote this thing ahead of the release, and I didn't see a single bit of promotion for this anywhere. But yeah, so I did kind of bite on this and I went a little bit heavy on it. Now, there's no risk to it because they're offered returnability, so if I don't sell it, you know, they'll take them back. But I read it after FOC, and I was like, well, I'm going to have a hard time promoting this thing and pushing it, because I didn't love it either.
I didn't think the story – I mean, I liked the characters, and by the end of it, I was like, oh, I kind of – like, there's a little bit of that – you got an android going on there or something with the kid. And it's like, I was a little bit intrigued, but really not enough to go on to number two.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. And it's like both of those.
Yeah. I don't know if I
like
will.
That.
Honestly, I don't know if I will on that one either. Because like you said, it was a little confusing also. I guess that, you know, again, there was a bunch of, mechs that I guess used to be around. And now they're gone and people are like living inside of them.
Well, that's what they were climbing at the end of the book.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're like, okay, I get that. But it's like, but they're gods and there's this whole, like there's a whole religion based around them. And it's like, there wasn't enough substance there to grab me to make me go, I've got to find out more about this. Because like you said, in both of them, you really got to read the synopsis to know what's going on. And I feel like a synopsis is supposed to be like something to get you intrigued to read the book, not a requirement.
Right, like, right.
You know,
should be part of it.
Yeah.
If I have to read the back of the book.
Right. Like, I need more information. What the heck happened here? But you know, and not to bash on Vault Comics or anything, because I also read Autumnal today, Autumnal 2, and that's fantastic. Did you read that? Yeah.
No, I still haven't read number one. I didn't have a copy left. Like, they
number two is really good as well. And it's like, I mean, it's, you know, that's, so I don't know. This one missed out on for me. So
yeah.
But oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well. Get to this, the last one.
One. I'm sure we both read this. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. This is by IDW Publishing. It had written and art by Kevin Eastman and Various. So a bunch of people worked on this. I don't know who Various is. And of course, this is it's billed as the Teenage Mutant Ninja event of 2020. It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle event of the last 20 years, probably.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is the biggest thing they've done. Like I said,
Batman Turtles was big when that first came out.
It was. You know. But again, but even that didn't have the hype around it that this does. Like, I didn't sell as many copies of Batman TMNT that I did of this. I wasn't really joking. I mean, I sold so many more copies of this than I did of any single issue of. I sold more of this than I've sold in the last 3 years of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles books combined, probably. So again, it was nice to see that there's that many fans out there still of Ninja Turtles, because I think a lot of people who are not even specifically comic readers were coming out to try to get this.
Right.
This was pretty good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. You know, obviously it's set in the future. We don't know how far in the future it is, but, you know, basically as the title indicates, there's one turtle left. You know, we don't know exactly what happened to the other three, but, you know, we're to assume they all fell and, you know, in battle, basically. Right. Probably with the Foot Clan. And then this is obviously the surviving turtle, who you don't find out who it is till the last page, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody that didn't read it.
I don't even think you find that out. We can talk in kryptonite later.
No, I've heard that too. Like, there's some debate on whether that is even true. But basically, in the very last panel, he's called by name, but the way it's put in there, there's question on whether that's who that person was talking to.
But I think I can say this without spoiler, because there is a question mark at the end. So right. You don't know if the question is that because I don't think that's a spoiler. I don't know. We won't say it. Let's talk about it in kryptonite. Yeah, if you want to hear about it, we'll talk about it in kryptonite.
I don't want to say.
But all right.
But basically, whatever turtle this is on a mission to avenge his three fallen brothers and Splinter, I believe, against the grandson of Shredder, who's now the head of the Foot Clan. In this time period, and who basically is head of the whole New York City, it looks like. So, this is a revenge tale set in an alternate future. I don't want to say I'm the biggest Turtle fan out there, but you know, I've been a fan of them since they came out, basically in the 80s with the cartoons and all that. But this is probably the first Turtles comic I've ever read. Like, I've never really read their comics.
Really?
So, yeah.
Not even back in the 80s?
No, never did.
Oh, okay.
Never read them. I was just, you know, I watched the shows and I've seen the movies, and I mean, it's hard not to know who the Turtles are because they were such a pop culture thing, especially in the 80s. But I mean, as far as the comics go, like, this was really good. A lot of fun. Really great art. Seemed like a really good story. I was invested the whole way through. You know, this isn't a spoiler at all, but he's kind of accompanied by the other three turtles through the entire book.
It starts on page one. Yeah.
Yeah. He sees them and he talks to them, you know, throughout. So, which, like, they're with him. They're kind of haunting him. Not haunting him in the sense like that they're ghosts, but like he's haunted by their memories and, you know, still carries them around with him and is absolutely driven by you know, whatever happened to them. And but you know, I like, you know, they didn't go into a lot of detail. Like, there was enough there that you knew what was going on, but you know don't know exactly what happened to them, how long he's been alone. You know, there's a lot of things that we're yet to find out. Which I'm sure will all be revealed throughout the next four issues. But yeah, this was really great. Even if you're not a Turtles fan, this was a great book. The problem is if you can get your hands on it. At this point, if you wanted it and you haven't gotten it yet, it's going to be tough to get until that second printing comes out.
Yeah.
So at this point, we're probably not telling anybody that hasn't read it anything new.
No.
But, yeah, if you want this based on anything we say, you're going to have to wait until the second printing probably, because I know all the stores in my area were sold out because people were calling me and telling me that, you know, basically nobody had it, so.
Right. So, can I take it down a peg?
Sure.
All right. I really enjoyed this, but as a reader from the beginning, I was a little disappointed with it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel it was dark enough. And I know I'm coming off as a little negative right at this moment, but I can't stress enough how much I really enjoyed the book.
Right.
But I did think as I was reading it, it was like, oh, I was, because when this was first proposed, one of the tags or one of the ads for it was saying like it was, you know, going back to the beginning and like getting back to their roots, and their roots are black and white.
Right.
So I would have liked to have seen if this was all drawn like the original, and, you know, even the originals, they were kind of scrawny looking turtles. So maybe they put them as, you know, a little bit more beefed up, which you could tell on the cover it was going to be anyways. But I was hoping for a darker, more, almost like a Black Label type story. I know this isn't DC, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And this didn't have that. This was, it had the bright colors, so it had the nice mix of a turtle story, that like a modern turtle story. But it was dark at times, but it just didn't come off as dark as I was anticipating. And that's my own issue. That's my own thing, being like, I was excited for that nice dark turtle story from, that's how it started out.
Right.
When they, back in the, you
well,
know,
yeah, but again, this
started.
Wasn't, this isn't the Mirage days, right? They've evolved a lot since then. So yeah. And I don't know, like you said, I wasn't a reader then, so I didn't have the same expectation or attachment
that,
to it,
that,
I guess.
And that's exactly what it was for me. It was an expectation that just wasn't met, but it doesn't mean I didn't like the book. It doesn't mean that the book isn't great. It just, it's not what I was hoping for a little bit more on the adult side. Like maybe that story that for the reader that was from the 80s that was like, all right, here we go, we're back. And that's why I think a lot of people, I'll be interested to see if anybody else has this opinion too, because that's why I think we're getting people to come out of the woodwork that are like, that aren't comic book readers, but were back then. And we're like, yeah, you know what? Cause I think it kind of was billed that way.
Right.
You know, cause it was billed as like, you and I first, when it was first announced, we even mentioned how like the turtles, has kind of evolved into this kids over the years. It's evolved for each generation of kids.
Right.
And that's what's kept the turtles around so long, is that they've done a good job at evolving for the next group of kids.
Right.
And which kind of moves people like you and I out, because it's more of a kid's book. This one here, I wouldn't say this is a kid's book by any stretch, but
no,
it's not. Just not as dark and adult as I thought it
would
be.
Well, and honestly, the original book wasn't a kid's book either.
Exactly.
Like it morphed into a kid's
after
property,
the show.
Right. Because of the show. But this was definitely not a kid's comic when it first came out.
Right. So. Oh, I know. And that's why I was like, I was reading it when we were, 16? And it was like, that was, it was an adult, quote unquote, adult comic book at the time. And that's what made it edgy, especially for a 16-year-old. You know, it wasn't like your typical comic book at the time. So,
right.
But yeah, I did really enjoy it. I highly recommend it. I would recommend grabbing it digitally if you can't wait, and then just getting a number two, because you know, a second printing. But it is a good read. It's a really good read. Great read. Yeah. So
now, can I bring it down a little bit more from there?
Oh man. This is the bright side.
Like for publishers, can we stop making books that are not comic book size? Like,
oh, you're preaching Dr. Joe's tune.
Oh my God. It's like, why does this book have to be the size that it is? It's
and
not even Black Label
size.
Because
right.
Black Label size, at least it's magazine size, so it fits in magazine bags and boards. This doesn't fit in anything.
No.
Like, doesn't fit in current silver or golden age bags and boards. I have them in magazine size, which they fit, but they're
but
not.
It's floppy on a side.
Yeah, because they don't fit. They don't fill out the sides.
Right.
It's like, why does this have to be this size? It's like, stop it already, all you publishers that are listening.
Right. It's just like, off-sized.
Yeah.
It's just a slightly bigger. It's slightly taller and slightly wider.
It's too tall to fit in a box. Like, you can't put it in a long box with the cover on it. Because it sticks up over the top. So how are you supposed to store these things? It's like, it's ridiculous. They just need to stop.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
I don't mind, but I just store them. I'll just put them in a different place. But
right.
But I hear that. I understand it. It's like, especially if you like to collect them and then, you know, put everything in order. But
well, most, but yeah. And even just because people want to bag and board them. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
And you know, you can't.
When was the last Black Label that we got that was oversized?
Well, there's Hellraiser, or not Hellraiser, Hellblazer is still going on. We have.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's still going on. And we still have the Joker Criminal Sanity, which is still going on.
That's right, too.
So, there's still current ones that are not ended. And as far as I know, like, they're not going to stop.
Because we've gotten a ton of Black Labels that are just normal. But
well, recently, because the three Jokers are technically Black Label.
Yep.
And then the last, Batman Last Night on Earth or whatever it was called was Black Label. But most of the rest of them have been the oversized. Which, again, I wish they wouldn't do that either, but at least those are still somewhat standard size because they're magazine size. So you can still do something with them. Now, they still don't fit in in the long boxes or short boxes, but right. at least you can bag and board them, you know.
Yep.
So.
All right. We both read Three Jokers.
Yes.
We'll do Kryptonite on that.
Sure.
So we'll talk about that. Both you enjoyed it, correct?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay. All right. I really enjoyed it. We'll talk about it in Kryptonite. So check that out. That'll be with spoilers if you've read it, or if you don't care. Let's see. What else? I told you I read Department of Truth number 2.
Yeah, I didn't get to that.
That's just such a fun book because of all the conspiracy stuff they bring up. It's just, I can't recommend that one enough for conspiracy freaks.
Yeah, I definitely want to read it.
And I read Heavy number 2.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read that either.
That's a fun book. That's crazy. Yeah. Remember how the last one ended?
Yeah.
He ends up with the partner.
Yep.
Pretty good story. I like where it's going. I like how they work out together. And there's some, we'll talk about that one when you've read it. You could even text me or call me after you've read that one because some of the stuff I don't think it's suitable for air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's good. A good book. It's very entertaining to say the least. And I finally got around earlier. I read Darth Vader number 6.
Oh yeah, really
that
good.
Was good. Yeah, that's those. They're such quick reads too.
They are, but that answered the burning question of whether Vader could defeat the Emperor on his own.
Yeah, that burning question.
And we know the answer is a resounding no.
No.
So what the Emperor just goes to town on him. I thought it was awesome.
But it was also cool to think of like what was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
When we don't see, you know, in between movies, because that's when this takes place.
Right.
And what Vader, the trials and tribulations of being Vader.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Pretty fun how they backstory stuff like that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
What else do you read this week? Anything?
Well, nothing that stands out, really. I mean, I read, you know, all my regular issues from last week. Continuing to enjoy Ten of Swords. I know at this point you're probably not going to jump on because we're 11 parts deep already, but it's really good. Like for you, I would recommend at this point when the graphic novel comes out, I would definitely pick it up and read it because it's a lot more fun than, like, I think this is part of what we were hoping the X-Men would be after House and Powers ended. This is more fun. It's, you know, it's a big story. Obviously everybody's involved, but it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it so far. So I recommend
that. And what, we're 11 books in now?
Part 11 came out today.
Okay.
So we're basically halfway done. There's 22 parts. So it's got at least another month before we wrap this up. Probably a month and a half because, you know, it runs through every title. I think there's 5 or 6 different titles that are going in this two more issues of most of them. Yeah, it's 22 parts. So, like I said, it's a big, and if you're not already buying all of those books, you know, it's a lot to ask somebody to buy 22 parts, you know, at $4 or $5 a pop, but especially when the graphic novel will come out for probably $34.99 or something.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not one that advocates that because, you know, obviously I want to sell floppies too, but, but at this point, if you haven't bought them already, going back and trying to find them and pick them all up is probably hard. I read that. I read Daredevil. I think last week I hadn't read that yet.
Yeah,
that was a really good issue.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I sent you a text.
Yeah, you. Oh, yeah.
After I read it.
We've got
the bromance of 2020 brewing there with Spider-Man and Daredevil, but it was really cool.
Did you agree with what I said, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you not see that happening?
Oh, no. Yeah. It was definitely, they were close.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, a little romance brewing on the back burner. I don't know.
Yeah, but, that was.
Yeah, it was a really good issue. Yeah, Daredevil again continues to be one of the best books out there right now. It's just really.
I honestly, on that scene too. And this isn't a spoiler, but if you're not reading Daredevil, you haven't. You know, if you are, you've definitely read it by now because it's a week old. But on that scene, that I thought for sure, like, Iron Man was going to show up.
Yeah.
And be like, guys, break it up, huh?
Yeah.
Because he's already in the book.
Or he's a third wheel. You know, maybe he's looking for a little menage. I don't know. You know, Tony swings any way the wind blows. So.
I wasn't really sure where
Iron Man After Dark. I don't know what that is, but.
Yeah. I didn't know. Peter and Matt were gonna eat yeah. it, but I don't know. So
that would have been funny. And then you know what I read? I actually liked a little bit more than you did was the White Knight Harley Quinn book.
You did like it.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I know you didn't care for it that much, but I thought it was decent. Okay. You know, it's a different team. You know, obviously she's set in the world of the White Knight, but it's not Sean Gordon Murphy that's doing it. And then, yes, this is definitely not a one-shot.
Right.
It goes on. But I think it was billed that way, or somehow I had it in my head that this was just a one-shot. But, you know, obviously when I got to the end of this, you know, they're already advertising issue two, so. At this point, I've ordered issue two already, so. So yeah, it definitely goes on. But yeah, it's a different team, writer and artist team, but I don't know, I thought it was pretty decent.
Cool. So, all right. Well, yeah. To each his own.
Yeah.
What was the other book that I wanted you to read last week that you got halfway through and I said you should finish it? Did you?
Oh, I didn't finish it. Yeah,
you
I
didn't get to that one.
It. No, Grendel, Kentucky.
That's what it was.
What
yeah.
it was. Yeah.
Where I said it actually redeemed itself at the end. I thought it was pretty good at the end.
I haven't gone back yet to pick that up.
All right. Oh well. All right. You ready to? Is that it for books?
Yeah, pretty much.
Touch on real world here?
Yeah.
All right. John, what'd you check out in the real world this week?
So we watched La Revolution on Netflix.
Haven't even heard of that one
yet. It was a season one that dropped last Thursday, I guess. And it was not at all what I thought it was based on the title and the description. Like, it looks like basically a period piece of the French Revolution, which is what I thought it was. You quickly realize that it is not. I mean, it's set in that time period, but this is a supernatural story.
Cool.
I don't want to call them vampires, but they're vampire-like creatures, basically. Yeah, so this is a fantasy story set in the, you know, basically in the 1700s in France. This is a foreign show. It's dubbed into English. So on top of everything else, you get the cool, like, Saturday afternoon kung fu movie vibe when you're watching it. Because
right. Your lip sync.
It's lip synced. This was done in French language originally. But yeah, again.
Hence the title, La.
La Revolution, yeah. But like I said, I went into it with one expectation, and you know, you're watching it, and you're like, "What is going on here?" Like this, it's kind of like again when you were watching Dusk Till Dawn way back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, "Wait a minute, what's happening here?"
Right.
So yeah, but once you kind of get into it and you realize what's going on, yeah, it was really good. You know, again, it was a foreign show, so nobody that I recognized. I didn't know any of the actors or anybody that was in it, but I really liked it. So we watched all of that. I think it was 10 episodes. We watched it over a couple of days, and then we watched Barbarians, which also dropped on Netflix on Friday. Another foreign show. This was a German show that was dubbed into English, and this was only 6 episodes. And this is basically, if you watched, well, everybody's watched it, you know, in the beginning of Gladiator, the Roman Legion is fighting the Germanic barbarian tribe. And you see it from the perspective of the Roman army because you're following Russell Crowe. This is the other side. Like, this is basically the barbarians. And, right. What was happening in the same time period when they're being, you know, subjugated by Rome. And what this reminded me of is, like, when you used to watch Wild Kingdom when you were a kid, and, like, on the week where it was focusing on the cheetah, you know, you were rooting for the cheetah when he was chasing down the deer. and like, you would hope the deer would get that cheetah. I mean, the cheetah would get that deer and eat it. And then the next week, when it was about the deer and he was being chased by the cheetah, you were like, run, little deer, run.
Exactly.
And so this was like the same thing, right? Like, right. In Gladiator, Russell Crowe was the hero. So you were all about the Roman army and, you know, hoping they were going to beat the barbarians. And then when you're watching this show, you're right. Like, well, the Romans are a bunch of jackoffs, and like you want the barbarians to win. So, yeah, this was actually really good too. I enjoyed it. 6 episodes, 40 minutes or so each, so it wasn't a super long watch. This one was a little bit more like in the French show. It was it was dubbed, but it wasn't as intrusive, I guess. This one was a little bit more so. Like, this one you could tell, it seemed like the voices didn't necessarily match the people as well as they did in the other show.
Yeah.
The voice actors they got. But still, it was really good. Both of these were, I think I recommend both of them. And, you know, they were done for Netflix. They were, quality was there. They had 4K, Atmos, all that stuff. So the production on both of them was really good. So I would say if you don't mind the dubbing, which is right. A lot of times turns me off of things, like, cause they have,
yeah, me too.
I have started to watch shows, like I watched like probably 10 episodes of like Casa de Papel on Netflix, which I've heard is a great show. There's 4 seasons of it, but it bothered me so much that I just couldn't watch it. Like I couldn't take it. So sometimes that bothers me, but in both of these shows, it didn't bother me as much. So, right. So yeah, I watched those, and then
that's a lot of TV right there.
It was. That was like 16 episodes basically total of those shows. But then what else did I watch? Well, and then we watched the one episode of Tehran that came out this week on Apple TV.
Okay. And yeah, that you said that earlier. Yep.
I think that's pretty much it, really. Couple of episodes of Mad Men, I think we squeezed in. So
cool.
Oh, and I watched Friday night. I think Saturday night. Lydia went out, and so I watched 5 or 6 more episodes of Korra. So I'm about halfway through season 3 now of that. So I'm kind of making my way towards the end of that.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't get any Avatar in this week. Jen was away for the weekend. She went away, and I ended up replacing the carpet in our bedroom with hardwood.
Oh, so awesome.
That was a project. So I didn't watch anything. That was, my dad texted me. I sent him pictures, before and after pictures. He goes, "How long did that take?" I was like, working hours?
About
18.
Yeah.
But it took, you know, over 2 days.
Yeah.
But well, actually, it took 2 days. But anyways, so yeah, we didn't really watch anything together over the weekend, but we did get to finish Lovecraft.
Okay.
And
crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a crazy show.
It's so funny. So the show ends, and I said to Jen, I could tell, like, as the last few episodes, actually the last few, ever since like episode 3, I think she's just been like, okay, we'll watch this again.
Yeah.
And when it ended, really, I go, all right. I said, I go like this. I go, season 2 starts next Friday. She goes, no, sir.
She's like, oh, please.
She's like, no. I was like, I'm just kidding. She goes, oh, okay. She has no desire to see season 2.
Yeah. Which hasn't been announced yet, but I would imagine they'll do another season.
It is a crazy show.
It is.
Was it Garmin that I heard this, that Lovecraft himself was it, what's his initials there? Is it HP?
Oh, HP Lovecraft. Yeah.
Yeah. Was like an extreme racist.
Oh, he's a raging racist. Yes. Yeah. It's well like, known. Yeah. Very
okay,
well known.
I had just heard that in like the last week and maybe it was, I can't remember where I heard it, but they said like, and he was around like in the '20s or something, right? Yeah. Or the early 1900s. And he was considered a like raging racist then when it was okay to do stuff like
exactly
that
when everybody
crazy right now
pretty much everybody then was a racist and he was still stood out as being racist
as a racist right so. You know like it's it was I just and I anyways I heard a couple of other stories that kind of hit home on that one as well. But I was wondering if, like, so are these his stories that, like, the show was, or was this based around him? Because
no, well,
him
it's
being
not
such
even
a racist.
It's just based around his property. Like, he wrote all of this Cthulhu, and he created the world. But this story, these show was based on a novel by a separate author. That appropriated, like, this work is old enough that it falls in the same domain as, like, Sherlock Holmes. It's all public domain, like Sherlock Holmes and Tarzan. Like, it's old stuff, right. So anybody can use it. So another author wrote basically the stories that this show is based on.
Okay.
Using his themes. But,
and
yeah, he...
heavy on the racism.
And yes, and a lot of racist, a lot of racism and racist stuff was put into this show. But like, these are not stories that he would have written specifically because he never would have wrote stories that had African American hero characters in them. You know,
no.
Because again, he was a huge racist. So
yeah.
But yeah, his work has been adapted into a, like, I've played, you know, a lot of the games, the board games and cards. There's a lot of Arkham Horror stuff that's, you know, based on his work that is out there. And, you know, I've played a bunch of that stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So.
But I've never actually read his novels or anything,
right.
though. Yeah.
But I thought the show is, like, artistically is just, it's a piece of art.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It's bonkers. Like, you're like, what is going on here? But the way they shot it, the way it's like everything about it, the writing, the story, and which is the writing, but it was really, really artistic.
It was
entertaining, hard to follow at times.
Yeah. The one criticism I have about the finale is that, and we talked about this throughout the whole season, was that it felt disconnected a lot of the times. Because each individual episode kind of felt like a separate story based around the same characters. And I think in the finale, they tried too much in too short of a time to wrap it all, like to bring it all together. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I felt like it was a little forced at the end, but it was still a great show. Like, you know, I had a little criticism with that because I think they tried, they listened to us and they were like, we need to tie this all together somehow.
Yeah.
And, they only had 42 minutes to do it in and it fell a little short, but still it was, I don't know, overall, it was a crazy ride. I thought it was pretty well done. So,
Speaking of that, I was watching, Mad Max Fury Road this week.
Yeah.
And have you seen that movie?
I did, yes.
Okay. Did you know that the blonde is in, she's in Mad Max Fury Road as well? The blonde from,
No, I didn't recognize
Lovecraft.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. She's, you know, one of the women that's captive in Fury Road that they're trying to get to the promised land or whatever.
Right.
Well, she's one of, you'll recognize her if you put on Fury Road. You'll be like, oh yeah, there she is.
Right now I
just happen to be doing both and you're like, oh, look at that. There she is.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I didn't recognize her from anything else, but.
Exactly.
You always find people when you go back and watch it later, you're like, oh, that's such and such that you just didn't know who they were before.
But. Yeah. Exactly. We started back in on Dexter. We figured out we had finished season 2. So we just started with season 3. I think we had done this too, but Jen wasn't really sure. So I said, all right, we'll just start on one.
It was all on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
Is season three the John Lithgow season?
No. Not yet, anyways.
Not yet.
Not in
okay.
the first two episodes, no.
Okay.
No,
that,
it's
that ends up. I think to name? Me that ends up being the best season out of all of them, whichever
Jimmy
one he
Smits.
Shows up in.
Jimmy Smits is the guest star right now.
Yeah, I remember him being on it, but I don't kind of remember what happened with him.
Yeah, he's the assistant DA or something
right,
like that. DA,
right. DA, something happens with him, but I can't remember. It's been a long time. But,
oh yeah, yeah. It's getting. But yeah, it's a good show.
It is a really good show. I might try to go back and watch it too, because you know we're sort of coming to the end of Mad Men also. We still got.
Of course you are.
Still got. I don't know. A third of the way into season six right now, so we still got the rest of season six and all of season seven. But
yeah,
you know we're getting there. So it'll be another couple of weeks because we keep taking breaks and watching other stuff. You know,
well, yeah,
we watched those two shows this week, but. We'd be done with Mad Men already if we just, you know, plowed through it. But
yeah,
maybe we'll do Dexter again.
Yeah. So I also watched Halloween from 2018. That was really good.
Oh, the Jamie Lee really Curtis one?
The newest one.
Well, I mean,
yes.
I guess she was in all of them, but the new one. Yeah, we saw that in the theaters.
Yeah, so did we. And I just watched it again in my
Yeah,
theater.
That was good. I liked it.
It's a fun movie, yeah. But I caught episode of Hellstrom.
Oh yeah,
the first one.
Yeah,
I saw that so far. Jen wasn't crazy about it, but she says she'll watch it with me.
It
I
grows
really enjoyed
on you because, like I said, I think
liked the first episode.
Yeah, but I think I told you it even starts off. It gets better as it goes on.
Right, right.
I didn't love the first episode as much, but it picks up as it goes. But yeah, that's a pretty good show.
And we saw the first episode of The Undoing on HBO Max.
I watched that also. Yeah.
That
was only one
good.
So far.
Jen really likes that one.
Yeah, that was good. We watched it, I guess,
Sunday night.
Sunday night it was on. Yeah, we watched that. Yeah, that was crazy. Interested to see where that goes.
Yeah. I can't remember what the other show was that the same writer, Jen... watched the other show and she
really
liked that. Yeah, there's another show by the same writer or whatever
I don't know. I don't even know who the writer was.
So. I don't either, but she was really into that one. That's right in her wheelhouse, you know.
Yeah.
Some, you know.
Yeah, Lydia liked it too. Yeah, it was good.
So. But that was it for this week for shows. So,
cool.
Anyways. All right. Was that it?
I think so.
So we'll wrap things up here and then we'll lock the door.
Sure.
All right. Oh, actually, you know what? We keep forgetting to do this. What do we got coming out next week?
We have
It's
crossover.
Always in our show notes, but
it's always in the notes. Yeah, and I almost didn't put it in the notes today because I was like, we've skipped it for 3 weeks in a row.
Sorry.
But no, it's fine. Well, I let it skip too, so.
Right.
But yeah, crossover number one is coming out, which this should be great. Obviously, we've read it already, but, it's gonna be really good. It's the Donny Cates book. We've got Mighty Morphin number one and the Stranger Things D&D crossover number one. Should be a pretty good week for books. Not as big as this week, but
right.
Some good books coming out. Crossover, I think, is going to be a big hit. That's definitely one that I'm going to promote like crazy to everybody.
But in the meantime, you can catch us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. And when I say us, I mean John and I, because anything you say, I will forward on to him.
Yep.
Because he doesn't read his Twitter.
I don't read
or our email.
Yep.
But or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com and check out us and all the other great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. And that will do it for the main part of the show. We're going to lock the door and we're going to get into Batman 3 Jokers with spoilers. And we'll get John's opinion on the book as well. So... if you don't choose to partake, have a great week. Otherwise, we'll see you on the other side.
Take care, everyone.
All right, John, is the door locked?
It is.
Nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Keep out all the riffraff.
Yeah, we don't want that the undesirables to come in.
Yes. We only want our few choice friends in here listening. So if you're hearing this, you're one of our choice friends.
Exactly.
So let's get to it then. What did you not love this? Did you like it?
I was just whelmed by it.
You were just whelmed?
Just whelmed, yeah. It wasn't horrible by any means.
Young Justice reference right there.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't bad at all, but I don't know. I didn't feel satisfied at the end of it. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I had a blast at the end of it.
I just feel like they didn't really. I mean, obviously we only have one Joker left now. So, I mean, that's kind of what we thought was going to happen at the end of this, right?
You thought it would funnel down to that.
We were going to be down to one. And it seems to be the one that we're most, the version that we're most familiar with.
Yeah, it seems to be the real one.
Yeah, it seems to be the Joker. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of felt like, I don't know.
Did you want three Jokers? Like,
I didn't want three Jokers, but like they didn't really, you still don't know if this is the original. Like, we don't know which Joker this is. We don't know if he's the original.
But isn't that the point of the Joker anyways? And that's kind of where this book went?
But it didn't answer anything. I guess that's my point. Like, what did we accomplish at the end of this? Like, we waited for 3 years, 4 years, or whatever to get this story, to get the answer to the mystery of the three Jokers. And, like, we didn't. You know, like, nothing is
But that's,
any
I think
different.
That's the point.
But then what was it for? You know, I guess
to
that's
make
my
that
whole
point.
Like, what was it for? You know, we don't know if this was the original Joker or not. Like, I liked the idea that they were going to make another Joker out of Joe Chill so that he could torment Batman even further. Like, I thought that was interesting. But I guess I didn't like I went into this thinking that there were always three Jokers. But it's not. Like, this was one Joker who was creating copies of himself, basically putting the serum out there, and the ones that didn't die got to be Jokers, you know? And,
right.
Like, there could have been 30 Jokers or 50 Jokers.
There
you
could
know? Like,
still be more.
Right. Like, they weren't
right.
limiting it to only three. It's just that most everybody else died, and these were the three that survived, and they got to be Jokers. So you don't really know how long there have been three. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I didn't have any answers. Like, it was a good story. Like, I liked the handling of all the characters and everything. But I don't know any more now than I did going into it. So,
I just don't think
they answered anything for us, you know.
But I think, and again, that's what I said. I think that was the point. I think that it's – so I had a question. So – I have a few questions for you after I, you know, read this book. I was like, when I first, like the opening pages, did Batman finally react the way you think Batman should have reacted?
With Jason?
Yes. You see what I mean? Opening pages.
He kind of lost a little bit on Jason. Like, you know, yes,
There was script there that I was like, it was like taken right out of your mouth in our conversation, you know, like I'm reading it going, we've had this conversation, like you can't turn him in because of, and then you go down like the tree on how it would break down and, you know, whether Batman said it or Barbara said it and she's like, you know, like which way, and I liked Barbara saying like, if you do that again, I'll unmask myself.
Right.
You know, like I'll do that.
Right. So, they were both painted into a corner by his actions because I feel like they think they can still do more good as Batman and Batgirl than the harm he did by killing the Joker.
Right.
Because unmasking themselves basically ends Batman and Batgirl, right? They can't continue to operate. So I think Batman's willing to live with what he did because he thinks he can do more good by continuing to be Batman. Whereas Barbara, you know, kind of feels that way, but also, like, this is his one free pass, right? Like, if it ever happens again.
You can't do that again, yeah. But
And he even says it'll never happen again. And she's like, well, it better not.
But he says that, but he said that right after he threatened to go kill the next one.
Right.
And you know, yeah, you like, don't, right, you don't really know what you can, in the moment, yeah. He can't control himself.
Yeah, you don't really know what you can believe. So yeah, I thought that was cool. I really had a problem with the note that he left Barbara.
You did?
I did, because, like, I really had a problem with him taping a note to the outside of her very public door saying, by the way, I'm right. Red Hood and you're Batgirl. Like, it's like, that's not very bright. And then, like,
why didn't
you're
he
Red
slip
Hood,
it
like,
under the door?
Right, you don't have, like, super bat tape or something. Like, this thing just blows off the door, gets swept away. And
but did you see who it got swept away by?
And he makes a point to put in there, if you don't say anything, I'll never bring it up again. So
right.
He doesn't know that she never read it. I just thought it was the janitor. I didn't notice that it was.
It's a purple suit with yellow writing, and it says Fun Time Cleaners.
Oh, so.
So I'm like, is that
the Joker's henchman? Yeah.
Right. Is that a Joker henchman? Is it
probably.
What? Who knows?
I didn't pick up on that, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, that, I don't know. I just had a problem with him, like, spelling out in a note taped to the door that, you know, all their secret right. identities.
No, I thought of that too, but I was also caught up in the
but
whole.
But yeah, and it was like, why not just slide it under her door? You know, right. Why tape it to the door? Because if he slid it under the door, then he would know she read it. And, you know, that would defeat the purpose, I guess, of the
or
narrative.
Or could have stuck to her shoe and she never saw, I don't know.
Right.
But no, I got caught up in the whole, like, oh no, you know, like, she's never going to see it. And I was thinking, right. But I do agree with you. I thought of that, but I was more caught up in the, how are they going to play this out? Because I think it's going to come up again in some story somewhere where he will say something like, you know, even if in real life, if you ever wrote a note like right. that, nobody ever said anything and be like, after a while, you'd be like,
it will
I
burn.
Seriously yeah. can't believe you didn't say anything.
It'll burn you know? On you. But again, and
right.
they did a, well, I say they did a good job of it, whatever. It's good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But we still don't know when this takes place. Like, we never really narrowed down a time frame. So we don't know if it's been years since this happened or what. Because, right. you know, again, this is obviously pre-Alfred dying. So it's in the past to some degree. But we don't know when it happens. So, like, we don't know how long they've been operating with just the single Joker, but this is obviously the Joker that's currently, you know, was in the Joker War, and, you know, that we've seen in the last several years of storytelling. But so they didn't really answer that for us either. And the other really big issue I had with this whole thing was the very end. Because, like, you get the ending of the story, and then you kind of get two little epilogues afterwards, right? And
right.
then the very final one
on
is with Bruce talking to Alfred.
And Alfred going.
But Alfred asks
like all
him,
surprised.
You know, basically something about the Joker. And the Batman comes off with a very Batman-type response. He's like, look, I'm Batman. He said, I knew the week after he showed up what the Joker's real name was. Then why did we have this book?
Because that's why. They go on and say that.
No, this whole book is predicated on the idea that he, when he sat in the Mobius chair at the end of Justice League 50, the one thing he needed to know more than anything in the universe was who the Joker was. That's what started this whole thing, because the answer comes back, there's not one Joker, there's three Jokers. If he knew the Joker's name from the beginning, why did he get in the chair and ask who the Joker was? That one line invalidated the whole reason for this thing to even exist.
Oh.
Because that was his one.
That didn't bother me.
That was his one wish. Like, he sits in right. the God chair, and the only thing he needs to know in the whole world is who the Joker is. But he goes at the end of this book and says he's known all along. So I was like, well, then why do we even have this book? Like, this shouldn't have existed. Because
that line shouldn't have existed.
The line shouldn't have existed, and I feel like who wrote it? Snyder? I can't even remember this book. Yeah, no, it wasn't Snyder. It was
Geoff Johns.
Geoff Johns, right? I feel like he was trying to be cute at the end, by saying, of course I knew I'm Batman. But by writing that one line in there, you messed up your own story. Because he's the one that wrote Justice League 50 in the first place. He should have known his story right from the very beginning. He wrote it, you know.
That's, yeah, I'm trying to twist that. I don't know. You're right.
But, you know, I just thought he was trying to be cute with a bat, because that's a very Batman thing to say.
See,
even though he told them in the book explicitly, if I knew, you would know. Because they asked him. And he says, I don't know. But then at the very end, he's like, of course I knew, I'm Batman.
Right. Know? Well, here's the thing. But they also said that. Now, this is what I wanted to ask you. And here, this was one of my questions I had to ask you. Did you feel that was put in? Because to me, it felt like that was pigeonholed in. I felt like Geoff Johns saw the movie Joker and heard all the buzz about, like, the fans like us saying, like, Joker can't be, you know, can't be one guy, blah, blah, blah. And it feels like this whole story would have been a great story without that piece at the end.
Yeah, like I said, I think that was tacked on and it didn't need to be there.
And like, I felt like that before you even said anything, because I have it written right here. I'm like, this is what I wanted to ask you. Did that feel like it was tacked on at the end? Because I felt it was kind of cool, but I was looking at it through the lens of how everybody got upset. Like, we don't want a Joker movie. We don't want to define Joker. We don't want this. And Batman says that. Bruce says that. He goes, I know who he is, but nobody needs to know who he is. We don't need, because it's better that nobody knows.
Well, right, because it's better for his family that's in hiding from him, basically, that nobody knows.
Right.
And, yeah, that was all right. But, yeah, it should have ended with the note. Like, that should have been the end of the book. The note falling and being swept away. Because that was, like, epilogue number one. And then the little thing at the end with Bruce and Alfred was epilogue number two. And, yeah, it felt like two pages that was added hastily at the last minute and wasn't really part of the original book, and then he tried to be cute, and then he kind of screwed up his own narrative, I think, by doing that. So
Yeah,
that was a problem I had.
I still like the story, but you're right. It does screw up that narrative.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just felt like I wanted an answer. You know, like, I wanted to know more because we were set up with this story for, you know, years, and I don't think it accomplished anything, you know. That just my take on it.
Right.
As usual, I mean, the art was fantastic. The writing was fantastic. I mean, the dialogue and all that stuff was great. I just had a hard time justifying in the end what it was all for, because at the end of the day, nothing's different than what we went into it three issues ago.
I did like the story on how they used Chill to they set it up so that Batman/Bruce would forgive Chill.
And I did like that.
And then that makes, and it is such a Joker thing to do, to make now Joker is the number one pain.
Right.
In his life, you know, and it's like, it's not like he's, you know, Joker's doing this not to, you know, save Chill or do anything like that.
Oh, no.
But the entire thing is set up.
It's the torment.
So, like, I can be your number one torment. Now that I've cleared that one up for you, I want to be number one in your heart.
Right. And he said, because there's that scene in the ambulance/paddy wagon or whatever it was.
Right.
Where he's chained up and he says that. He's like, it's me. Like, I'm in your head. Like, I'm gonna be your boogeyman. And yeah, that was really cool. And I did like that kind of forgiveness scene, like in the hospital when Chill was dying or whatever, and Bruce grabs his hand or whatever. And I was like, that's a pretty good moment. And I thought that was cool. It seemed to me that Chill knew that he was Bruce, that Batman was Bruce. Like, they kind of said it, but they didn't really come out and say it.
Doesn't he say something like, I know who you are,
but then
he alludes to something else.
Right, so it was a little ambiguous, but I kind of feel like he knew that it was Bruce, and he knew he was responsible for Batman, and, you know, was genuinely repentant on what happened. I thought that whole arc was good. So that part I did enjoy. And, you know, again, if this was any other three-issue Joker book, I would have been fine with it. I just felt like it was teased to be more than what it ended up, which is really always the case. Like, 99 out of 100 times, you're let down by the product when you get it because it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Right.
And this was the same. And at this point, I shouldn't be let down because I should stop expecting things to be what they're not going to be.
Well, that's what happened to me with Last Ronin. Yeah. I had my expectations were a little different. And you feel let down, but it's still a good book.
Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, the product is good. It's just not what I thought it was going to be. But I feel like I'm not alone in that.
Probably not.
Because
especially when you mention...
Well, and this is just from a monetary standpoint, but...
Nope.
I sold out of issue one completely, every single copy. I've even ordered second printings of issue one. I ordered the identical numbers of two and three. And, like, three came out today, and I'm still sitting on 30 copies of number two. Like, I'm losing my butt on this book. I would have, because number three, my numbers were locked in to my number one numbers. So I knew today when they were showing up that I was going to lose money on this. So 30 or so customers of mine picked up number one and did not come back for number two. So I'm probably not alone in that people didn't think this is what they...
But I thought number one was really good.
I did too. And at the end of number one,
what makes
really
you not
good.
Want to come back
but
in
that's
number
my,
one?
Right, exactly. That's my point. But a lot of people did not come back for number two. And number three is looking the same. Now, I mean, it's only one day, so I can't say for sure. But, I mean, anybody that subscribed to it picked it up. But all those extra shelf copies... They're not being bought. So
right.
And at $7 a pop, you know, I can't, you know, I'm sitting on 60 or so unsold copies that, you know, is a problem.
Especially after number one. Number one was fantastic.
And
especially
it's not
the way
like,
it ended. How do you not want to go on?
And number one, I mean, it didn't sell in 2 days. Like, I didn't sell out in 2 days, but I mean, I was out before FOC for number two. That's why I locked in the same numbers.
Right.
You know, so within 2 weeks, I was sold out, whereas issue two's been out for a month already, and, you know, I haven't sold those numbers. So I get the feeling that a lot of people kind of feel the same way, that they're a little bit let down by it.
Right.
I don't know if that translates across every retailer. I don't have those numbers, but from a kind of a selfish perspective, it seemed like a lot of people didn't come back. So
yeah.
I don't know.
That's too bad. It's too
bad. For me, it is definitely too bad.
Since we're in Kryptonite, let's talk about the Last Ronin again. The end of that. So this is the, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin. If you haven't read that yet, just came out, well, as we're speaking today, yesterday, as you're listening. And the ending of this book, if you don't want to hear this, hit stop now. But the ending of this book has April...
Right.
Talking to a turtle, and her last line is, "Who are you just talking to, Michelangelo?"
Right.
Now, is that "Who are you just talking to, Michelangelo?" Or "Who are you just talking to, Michelangelo?"
Well, right, because it's
a question.
It's "Who are you just talking to, comma, and then Michelangelo, question mark. So,
So
it could be interpreted a few ways. Now, when I read it initially, I just went straight to, "Oh, it's Michelangelo." And then, of course, you start to see people online debating about it. And then after I saw people questioning it, I was like, "Well, yeah, I can see that." Too.
I questioned it right away. I was like, "What?" It was such a. I think it's a great. I haven't looked online, but I think it's such a great way to end it because you're like. What is it? It's a question.
Right.
You don't know if she's saying, "Are you talking to Michelangelo or are you who are you talking to?"
Right.
Michelangelo. Because
that's the whole thing is like, if she was talking to that person directly, why would she have to say, like, I don't say, "Who were you talking to, DJ?" Right? Because I'm already talking to you. I don't have any need to say your name again.
Right. So, that's what makes me think she's talking to, like, maybe Raphael.
Right.
And she's asking if Raphael talked to Michelangelo. That's now, what makes me.
I want it to be Mike because that's who you and I pegged it to be at the beginning. Because he was the least likely to be the Ronin. So exactly. I want that to be him because I want to be right. Right. But I'm not 100% sure that it is him.
I'm not either. But it's funny because Slade had already read it when I picked this up, and he told me, it's exactly what I thought it would be. And then when I read that at the end, I was like, then I don't think Slade read this right because you don't know. I mean, you can't say definitively either way.
No, you can't. We won't know until issue two, probably.
I don't even know.
And maybe
we'll
not
know
even
then.
Right. We might not know then either. They might try to stretch it out as long as possible.
And that was one of the frustrating things. I was like, I want to know.
I kept looking at the ghosts to see what colors they were wearing, and they never really showed. Because I thought that's how we were going to find out.
I was even like reading into like their replies or their what they were saying. Like that sounds
right,
like
but
it
nobody
would be
said
Mikey.
Nobody said like... Cowabunga, dude. So right, you couldn't figure anything out.
Yeah, exactly. So. The last picture when he was sitting at the when he's in the hospital, whichever turtle it is, there's a plate of like hospital food right there. It's funny, or April's holding it, but if you look at it, it's a round dish and it's got like chopsticks in it, but it still looks like a pizza.
Yeah.
It's not. It's got like a little pieces of food left in the dish, which look like pepperonis, and then the chopsticks are lined like they're a slice of pizza, and I was just like, they still made it look like a pizza, but it's not pizza, and I was like, why didn't they just put a pizza in it?
Exactly.
But I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I thought the book was really good, and I was the whole time I'm like, who is this? Who? And you're like reading every lit, like you said, you're trying to figure out which one it is.
I kept looking to the ghosts to see if you could tell through them who it was going to be.
It was cool like that he's carrying all the weapons.
Right. Cause I thought at the end he would be like, they would show him in a conversation with the other ghost and you would be able to see the colors and figure out, you know, which one was missing. But maybe that's how they do it eventually later on. But
and it's pretty cool when he laid down the weapons and the masks.
Yeah,
all the colors he had laid out.
But yeah, that like you said, cool. He carried all their weapons, so you couldn't tell by the weapons who it was because he had everything.
Right.
So
I was the busted katana.
They did a good job of kind of keeping it from you.
Yeah. So, all right, is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That'll do it for this week. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Don't go nowhere, John. Time for the open.
Yay! My favorite part.